This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
It's the morning. It's FUBAR. It's Mark Dolan.
Good morning. It is 10 a.m. You're listening to the world's largest ad-free, unregulated comedy radio network. It's Mark Dolan with you right through to 1 o'clock with all the biggest stories from the papers, also from social media and our in-studio rolling news feed. Producer Talia, it's going to be a very special show today.
It really is. It's very exciting.
We have a sort of announcement. If you've got access to the newspapers, if you can see or you can hear, you've probably heard a special announcement about FUBAR Radio and an extraordinary signing for this radio station, which is not just a moment for FUBAR, but a moment for world radio. Do you want to know the figure of how many people are aware of my brand new colleague who as yet shall remain unnamed?
Please tell.
500 million. Let's just say it's trending. Let's just say it's something resembling a big story. We're going to play a record. We're going to keep you in suspense. I want your breath to be bated as you pine to find out just who it is that I've got the joy of working with. All I will say is one of the biggest stars on the planet. Here's a record by Daft Punk. That's the unmistakable sound of Daft Punk, Lose Yourself to Dance, featuring Pharrell Williams on FUBAR Radio at exactly 10.06. I've got a very, 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 very special co-host that's been signed to FUBAR. She, because I'm dropping clues now, she shall remain nameless. But let's just say, let's put it out there. And by the way, it's going to be a very big show. We've got the papers. We've got our social media feed. We've also got an in-studio rolling news feed. We've got star guests. It's absolutely packing a punch today. We're punching above our weight and other such boxing metaphors. But another clue. Well, how's about this one? My favourite game show of all time is The Price is Right. Have a think about that. Here's Rolling Stones. The incredible Rolling Stones, Sympathy for the Devil on FUBAR Radio at 10.13. My star co-presenter, this epic historical signing, not only for FUBAR, but for UK and world radio, is in the building, ladies and gentlemen, and I'm dropping little clues. I mentioned earlier that my favourite game show is the 80s classic, The Price is Right. Can also tell you that my star signing co-host was born in Brighton, has sold in excess of 2 million books. And here's a clue. It's not J.K. Rowling or Charles Dickens. And by the way, she is up next.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is Tuesday, the 17th of June, 2014. You're listening to FUBAR, the UK's largest unregulated ad-free radio network. It's a radio revolution and you're part of it. And today, we've just upped our game. As always, today's show will be news reactive, with 3 hours of the biggest stories being talked about around the country and across the globe. We've also got top guests, our live social media centre and our in-studio rolling news feed. So if anything happens on the planet, if nothing happens, either way, you'll be the first to know. But today's show is just a little bit special, because my co-host every Tuesday from now on is the biggest female star in Britain. She's more famous than the Queen, way prettier than Cheryl Cole, and with a less annoying accent, and has more front than the East Sussex coastline. Katie Price, welcome to FUBAR.
Well, hey, I'm here.
Now, was that a big enough introduction?
That was good. That bigged me up.
Now, listen, I'm already in trouble. I'm already in massive shit with your management team, who, by the way, just at the last count, 17 people outside. Just your people. Right.
Are they? Do you know?
Your
I literally
homies.
Walked in a comment. I just said, hello, everyone. I came straight in here. So I don't know.
Now, listen, I was on your Wikipedia and I was dropping clues about who you are.
Yeah.
And one of the things I said, because I was like looking at your bio, is that you sold 2 million copies. But that was like a few years ago. So your colleague has shouted at me and said, actually, it's 5 million now books that you've sold.
Do you know what? I'm lucky that I sold one. So it doesn't matter. Does it?
We love you for that. Now, Welcome to FUBAR Radio. First of all, how do you feel about being on the radio, having your own radio show, saying what you want and just being Katie, unedited, unairbrushed, the real McCoy, the real thing?
I'm happy with it, but I know there's a lot of people who are probably, I'm allowed to swear, are probably shitting themselves, knowing, oh my God, what is she going to say? Because unfortunately, what you see is what you get. I'm black and white and I say it as it is.
Yeah, I think it's the perfect medium for you. And I'm amazed that you haven't done more radio in your life. But that has been put sorted out now. We've put paid to your absence from the airwaves because I think it is a great, great opportunity. And there are so many people who just love you. You've got millions of fans around the world. And Mike, let's just get down to a couple of things, first of all.
Yeah.
How the hell are you? Because it seems like you've had rather a roller coaster couple of months.
Oh, my God. I don't know. Like I say to people, because I really have had drums, it's a lot worse than what they've read. You know, I know Kieran did a story in The Sun, and all I can say is it's a lot worse than that, what more stuff's come out.
Yeah.
Remember, I'm pregnant, so I can't go out and drink. I'm not on any happy pills. It's a case of dealing with the situation, being strong, and getting on with it. But what I won't do is, not that I'm using it as the same example, but when I found out Harvey was blind, I wasn't going to sit in a corner and cry about it, because you have to get on with it. So I suppose this is the same situation. You just have to get on with it.
Well, you were quoted in an interview a couple of weeks ago when you did that lovely multicoloured wig.
I know, how
shoots.
Awful did I look? But can I just clarify something?
That was vintage Katie Price, I thought. I thought she's done it again.
The reason I look like a twat is I make sure I look like a twat every time I do a press call, because it gets everyone. And even if people say I look like an idiot or whatever, do they really think I looked in the mirror and thought, wow, I look gorgeous,
no,
I look good? Because I absolutely know I looked hideous, but I did the job.
I thought it was really, really nice. I thought the hair was a little busy and maybe just a tiny bit. The eyeliner I thought was a little unsubtle, but really that's what you're about, because you're
trashy,
noisy, and you're shouty, and you don't care. And that's why we love you. I think you're a British national treasure. That's what I think.
Oh, it's been said before, but thank you. But I have been around for ages, I suppose, since I was 17. I'm 36 now. Oh, my God, that is ages.
You're a child of a woman. The story has only just begun.
Oh, yeah.
And you're with us on the radio, and you've had a ridiculous trip in today. Because do you live in West Sussex? Is that right?
Yes, I'm a country bumpkin. So I left at 7 and I literally got here on the dot.
And I was a bit worried because I called you to kind of talk through some of our stories today that we're going to discuss, get your reaction to. And you were just kind of passing through Harley Street at the time, which is obviously plastic surgery capital of Western Europe. And I'm thinking, she can't be on Harley Street. We'll never get here on time.
I know. You phoned me and said, where are you? I could have been anywhere, but I happened to be at the top of Harley Street.
Yeah, driving very slowly, looking for a parking space, I fear. By the way, because you look stunning, by the way, there's no way that you can be 7 months pregnant. You look remarkable.
I'm a bit more than that. Do you know what? I don't
really?
I feel massive again now, but you know what it's like. You've got kids and I'm sure you've seen your wife like it.
Absolutely.
I don't know. I'm carrying bigger than I did with, I'm carrying smaller than I did with Jet.
Yeah. And I've met Jet, who is a fabulous child. We had a long meeting here a few weeks ago. He slept through the whole thing.
Oh, yeah, he did.
And he seems like an angel of a child. So see, you're juggling all this thing. Because at the last count, how many children do you have?
God, I have to keep up myself. No, this is my fifth one.
It is number five. It's amazing.
And not my last one.
The thing is, what my perception of you is, and I know I'm blowing smoke up your ass. Okay?
Yeah, but you can give me digs later.
That's it. Well, the gloves will be off.
Exactly.
By, like in a couple
Bring
of
it
weeks.
On.
But I think that you are very good at things, okay? Because I think you're an incredibly successful author, a business person, a model.
I haven't done that for ages.
Well, you know, let's gloss over the singing. And the thing is, but the only thing I think that you're not good at...
Men.
Choosing men.
And tell me about it.
And it's like so not fair.
I know. And especially in this situation with Kieran... I never expected it. Never.
No
one did. Never. I don't know what it is. It just goes to show. Do you know, I got a compliment last week from a tramp of all people.
That's okay. Nice. That's good for you.
I went to watch Little Mix at the Brighton Centre, and I was walking along the seafront because we was going for something to eat after, and this tramp shouted out, "Oi, what a sexy pregnant lady you are. Can I be the best man at your wedding?" And I just threw back and said, "I'm divorcing." But the fact is, I got a compliment from a bloody tramp. It's like, I don't know. Do you know what?
Maybe it proves that in spite of your fame and
money
all the rest
doesn't
of it,
bring happiness like that. It just goes to show you can have everything and you still can't keep a man down. You can give him as much sex as you like. You can give him everything. But if a man's going to cheat, they're going to cheat.
What I think about you is that I think you're a fascinating contradiction, which is that I think that on the one hand, you're a focused, intelligent, serious person, a business person, very strategic minded, all of that stuff. This whole career is not just an accident. Absolutely no way. So I think you're kind of quite straight and down the line and maybe probably a business person, probably quite hard nosed. But then there's this strange flip side, which is a big romantic.
I am such a sucker when it comes to love. but I am a laugh as well. I like to have a laugh.
I know. But obviously, seems like you business, fall in love. You fall in love, don't you?
Too easy. And like I said, would I get married again? At the moment, I've been put off. Because everyone says, Kate, when you meet a guy, you don't have to just marry them. Why can't you just date a guy? I've never really been on a date. It's like I jump from one relationship to the other to the other. It's not because I don't like to be on my own. It's just that I like to do things with people. And, you know, I know I've got my kids and stuff, but you still like your cuddles and
your extras. Of course you do. My God, you're a human being. And I think people forget that. I think sometimes people think you're almost a victim of your own success, that you've made yourself a brand. You're kind of a product. It's like, that's all well and good, but you're also a human being. Does it upset you when you're treated more like a product than a person?
A lot of people do treat me like a product. What's funny, like if I'm out in the street, someone might shout out, oh, hi, there's Jordan. And then another one's like, oh, there's Katie Price. It's like, oh, there's two me, or is there three me? Mind you, I am a Gemini. There's lots of me.
Of course there are. When you started your modelling career, I think someone suggested that you get some photos taken, some professional shots taken. They were sent to a modelling agency, according to this biorg, and in 1996, that's you were true. Offered the Page 3 job.
Yeah, I was a receptionist of this firm I worked for, and one of the people there, she was a photographer. So in my lunch show, I went to Brighton Beach and just did some pictures. And then she said, oh, she knows a model agency in London, and it was Samantha Bond. So I remember getting the train up, walking along King's Road, and that was it. She took me on straight away.
Unbelievable. What do you think was it? I mean, you're a very beautiful lady, and you're very stunning. Those early pictures of, you know, when I was single, I've certainly, a lot of those images have kept me going through months and months of having no girlfriend. God bless you for that.
Oh, you
That's
are
why
funny.
You're a national treasure. But also, very very beautiful. So, but what was it about you, do you think, that gave you the edge on all those other thousands of young women trying to
do
get
you know, I don't know. All
deal?
I know is I used to go on castings. They're like auditions. Mm. And most of the girls were blonde. I mean, I had brunette, really curly hair. And they don't do it nowadays, but they had like all the main calendars and that you do, like Mintex calendars and stuff. And I seemed to get the jobs, and the girls were like, how do you get it? Every year we try and do it, and we're always turned down. I don't know. I have no idea what it was that I had, because
obviously,
there's so many gorgeous girls.
They're all gorgeous, aren't they? They're all gorgeous.
But some aren't photogenic, or you get a lot of girls that are good looking and absolute shit personality. And I think you've got to have a bit of banter, a bit of something about it. You can be good looking. I'm not saying I'm good looking, but you can be good looking. But if you've got a shit personality, it can make you ugly, and it, you know, it's boring, isn't it?
When you were, roughly what age do you reckon you were when you got that Page 3 shoot and you signed up with that top agency?
I think I was 17
so early, sort of 17, 18. And did you have the gift of the gab even then? Did you have that way about you that you've got now that we all know and love?
I've always been cheeky. Always. If you look at my school reports, because I got them out a few weeks ago, and I haven't changed. They all said that I'm a dreamer, I'm this, I'm that. Mm. And I am. And I still am. So,
and that's it. And the rest is history.
I only listen to what I want to listen to. You know, my friends and managers or whatever, they say one thing. But if I want to listen, I will. If I don't, I don't. I'll do my own thing anyway.
Now, one of my 8 million fun facts about Katie Price is that she actually has people who are on the payroll whose job it is to basically delete your tweets straight after you've sent them.
Oh, yeah, I think I'm learning, though. But they've let a few of them go because
these people
I say
don't sleep.
To them...
They don't sleep. In case you wake up in the night for a wee and send a tweet about an ex, which is highly libelous.
Well, it is. I'm learning. Trust me, I've kept my mouth shut. There's a lot that I've wanted to put on there.
Incredible.
It's just very raw at the moment.
Incredible. Well, listen, maximum respect to you for surviving through all this. You were quoted in an interview the other day as saying... I can't believe it was something along the lines of, I can't believe I haven't topped myself after what I've been through. It wasn't quite as dramatic as that, but can't believe I'm still here. Haven't.
And, yeah, because it's that bad. But, you know, I've got children. I've got a family. I can't be selfish.
No, it's brilliant. So, and what I also
time
love,
is a healer.
And this is classic Katie Price. This is vintage Katie Price, which is amid all of this chaos, carrying a child you didn't know you had, a philandering husband, all that horror. And you're like, okay, I need some more commitments. So let's have a weekly radio show as well. And
but this
that,
is the thing,
the
I love it.
Turmoil, you signed for FUBAR.
But I love it. This is the thing. Like I did my press call the other week. Why should my work have to suffer? I love my work. And coming here every week is going to be brilliant for 3 hours, unedited.
Correct.
Not bleeped. I can say what I like and deal with the consequences after.
Yeah, I mean, obviously your manager outside is getting an ulcer at the very thought of it. But
oh, probably.
His loss is our gain. It's FUBAR Radio, Mark and Katie, right through with you until 1 o'clock. It's 10:33. And we're going to play a song now by Eminem, who is a bit like you. He speaks his mind, right? He's an artist. He's an icon. And this title of this song is particularly appropriate. The Way I Am on FUBAR.
Mark and Katie on FUBAR Radio.
It's 10:38 and I do love the ring of that. Mark and Katie on FUPAR Radio, Mark Dolan and Katie Price, but not in that order. Let's be very honest. It's Katie Price and Mark Dolan. It's Katie Price brackets Mark Dolan.
It's all Mark.
Stop it. You get top billing. Now, let's hit the papers at 10:39. Lots of stuff going on. It's a very mad world we're in. Let's have a look at the front page of the Daily Express. First of all, racing driver comes out of coma. Now, this on paper, this would be good news, Katie, which is Michael Schumacher, who had that freak skiing accident. And he's out of the coma and he's been relocated to a different facility. But there's not a word, not a squeak about his actual condition and whether he's compos mentis or not. You fear he isn't.
I know. I followed that. When it happened, you know, and it broke on the news, they made it sound like, oh, we just knocked his head. But there's some bloody head's been knocked there. 6 months in a coma. And, you know, I don't know if you've seen the film. Oh, my God. What's it called? About that snowboarder.
Yeah, I do know that. What was it called? It wasn't Touching the Void, but it was the other one about.
Oh, my God. What's it called? Oh, one of them
will remind me. Producer Harry will Google it.
And and it showed him. He was just, you know, he was going to do the Olympics and he just had a fall on the, what do they call it, the pike.
Yeah.
And he was in hospital and now he's not the same again. But who knows with Mark, he won't come back the same, will he?
Well, I fear not. I mean, it's that head injury thing is shocking. And they're saying in the Daily Express today, Michael Schumacher has woken from his coma and has been able to leave the French hospital where he's been treated after a skiing accident. The 7 times Formula One world champion suffered severe head injuries when he fell while skiing on the Alps. Doctors put him into an artificially induced coma. I think the thing was, the received wisdom, Katie, was that if you're placed in a coma, that's obviously there to protect your brain. But that if more than about 2 weeks go by and you're still in the coma, then that's basically very bad news. That seemed to be
6 months. So. You know, his body, the muscles of his body. I remember reading about a few months ago that he would have daily massage and everything to keep things going. And but, you know, 6 months is a hell of a long time. So he's now moved to another hospital, just going by reports. You know, I don't know what's true and what's not.
No. But, I mean, just what his family are going through. And here's the weird thing. I don't know what you think this, because you sort of mingle with the good and the great and all these high achievers and sports people and actors, and you've met everybody there is to meet. Do you think there's a certain quality that these people have where they're always seeking, like, achievement and danger and adrenaline? And because, I mean, I don't think what he did was particularly dangerous, but he was skiing off-piste. And he was wearing a helmet and going off the piste is obviously... are you a skier yourself? Do you do a bit of skiing?
I have been skiing. I'm not saying I'm the best, but I can get down the slopes.
But you just wonder... I mean, it's a freak tragedy, isn't
yes.
it? But you do... I also just remember Christopher Reeve, who played Superman...
Fell off the horse. Yeah.
And these guys, obviously, they... which you have to respect. He's somebody that probably lives every day.
Like they say that horse riding and motor racing is one of the worst... sports, you know, where most people get injured. And, you know, I'm a horse rider myself, and it is a dangerous sport. At the end of the day, you're on an animal. But same with him. You'd think in motor racing, all them years he's been doing it, and he goes on a skiing holiday, falls, and it just... you would think he would have been damaged by motor racing, not by skiing.
Well, I know. It's completely mad, isn't it? To have survived all that danger. And as you say, skiing shouldn't be something that kills you or puts you out.
No,
like
luckily
that.
He had a helmet on because, you know, when I've been skiing, there's so many people who don't wear helmets. Yeah. And it just takes that one fall. You never know, do you?
How are the ponies?
They're good. They're good. Mind you, one of my horses isn't good. He's been lame now for 10 days. So I had the vet on the phone on the way up and knowing what to do with him. So drama. That's my favourite dressage horse as well.
Oh, no, I'm really sorry to hear that because I don't fully understand equine health. I'm not an expert, but I know that if one of these animals has a problem with the leg, it can be something that's
if a horse breaks its leg, you have to put it down. You can't repair it. So
it's
quite dodgy, but. No, my horse is very lame, so I'm sure I'll update you next week. What's happened to him?
What's he called?
Black Beauty. He's called Wallace the Third.
Sweet.
He was originally called Jordan's cross dresser because I named him after the ex.
Yes.
Yeah.
The cage fighter.
Yes. But then it wasn't really good when you go in a dressage ring. saying this is Jordan's cross-dresser, you know.
Are you, by the way, you mentioned that ex. Are you on good terms with any of your exes?
Yes.
Okay. Can they be named or is
obviously
that
I'm not with Pete and I don't really talk to Alex.
Yeah.
But other than
that.
Are
you on reasonable terms with Pete though?
Like no, it wasn't, not at all.
Okay. Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame, but not at all.
Yeah. All right.
So he's, what he's done to me as well. I mean, I'm sure people read bits of it in my book. Mm. He's
what,
not
what
a nice
did you
person.
Say in the book?
Oh, I can't even think now. I'd no, have to be careful what
good.
I say.
It wasn't
good. It's just the truth. The
right.
truth of things.
And it wasn't like infidelity or something, but it was just not being a great husband.
There's lots of things, but put it this way, the Pete I know now is not the Pete that I met. And to me, it's all about fame and money with him now. And I have my reasons. So what happens behind closed doors is definitely not the person that you see on TV.
Yeah. No. Oh, by the way, I've got an idea for you going forward in terms of, because I hope that you find love. I hope you can have a reconciliation with the father of your child. That would be my
yeah.
number one.
Just remember
hope.
One thing. I am the most easygoing, laid back, down to earth person you would ever meet. And I've got patience of a saint. Obviously, I have to because of Harvey. But I'm not saying I'm perfect. Nobody's perfect. But I am actually quite easygoing, laid back, chilled. You know, if I'm more laid back,
listen,
I'll fall over.
Why don't you do what Uma Thurman does? And there's a few that have done it. Because she basically dates billionaires.
Because I never meet them. Or if I do, this is actually true.
Wouldn't that be the solution?
When I've
because
met
then
billionaires.
You know you're not going to be, it's not because of your fame or the cash. It's just going to be, you need a man who's richer than you, who can actually splash
and
the cash
yeah,
on
I have
you.
Met people like that. But the trouble is, because they're like businessmen, they want to be private. And people think that when they meet me, they're going to be dragged into the media, and that's what puts them off. So that, but the
so
thing is, they've got to realise
your job attracts the wrong men in some ways.
You could say that, but then when people actually are with me, I'm actually quite private. If that makes sense, I know people don't think, but I am actually quite private, and I've moved houses several times to get away from the paparazzi. When I choose to work, I choose to work, but when I'm at home, I'm just normal like everyone else. That's
yeah.
the trouble, but people don't realise that. And obviously, if they see me out and I've had a drink, because I don't drink much, I'm quite wild. And I suppose people can be like, oh, my God.
There's quite a lot of stories about exes and in the papers, and there's a lot of stuff online at the moment. So we've had this story about Gwyneth Paltrow and Chris Martin.
I don't get what's going
on
there.
Oh, my God. So the latest thing was, so when they split, they came up with this expression, uncoupling. Have you ever heard such a pile of shit in your life?
Never heard it. You're either together or you're not.
That's a joke, isn't it? So, because what do you think of Gwyneth Paltrow? Are you a fan?
I don't think she likes me. Years ago, there was a quote, if someone wants to look up to it. They said, what does she think of the London scene? And she said, oh, there's this certain player. I think it was China White's or something at the time. She said, oh, page three girls like that Jordan go there, so I stay away from it. And she it definitely said it in an interview.
And the thing is, you've got the memory of an elephant, haven't you?
Oh, yes.
I mean, anybody
and I never
that makes
forget.
A personal slight, never forgotten. But they're doing this, so weirdly enough, putting their divorce plans on ice. They only announced their separation 3 months ago, but according to reports, Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow, who have got to be, by the way, the dullest showbiz couple the world has ever seen.
All I know is about her is she does her acting and she's obsessed with her gym stuff and he's just, I don't know, he still does stuff, doesn't he?
He does. He writes the odd record. And
yeah.
The thing is, I you know, it's just this thing where they don't, she's not a bon vivant. Like, I don't think she has gluten. Like, she can't have bread or all
oh
these
God,
organic diets
like
and all of that stuff. And the kids are on it. And apparently, this was the rumour, is that he was, like, secretly giving the kids Coke.
Right.
And just for balance.
The drink,
you know I mean?
Coke.
Yeah,
yeah.
The Coke. Yeah, let's just be careful what we're saying. And, but yeah, it was like, because I don't know, how are you with the kids? Are you strict with their nutrition stuff or do you let them have what they want?
Harvey's on a diet. When I say diet, we've got to keep him healthy because of all of these, because he's quite a big guy.
Yeah.
A big boy.
Is he prone to getting a little
well,
overweight?
Well, he's got something called Prada Willies as well, which I don't know why they name it that. Which means they just want to eat and eat and eat, and he doesn't know when he's full up.
Right.
So we have a problem. He just, like, if I leave him for 5 minutes, he'd be in the cupboards eating.
Yeah.
So we have to try and keep him on a diet, even though he's big. But the other two, they can eat what they like, really.
Yeah.
They have fresh food all the time, cooked. But, you know, of course, there's the goodies cupboard.
I know.
And it's,
I mean,
like, you've got to eat your food or you're not having that. Whatever, mum.
Because I've got kids as well, and you sort of, you know, I noticed, like, when we were at school,
yeah,
there, every classroom, there was always one fat kid, wasn't there?
Yes.
It was like a, but now it's like every kid. It's like actually there's always one thin kid now. It's gone the other way. This childhood obesity. It's a big problem, isn't it? And do you worry as a parent? Because I've just seen, you know, my kids go off to school and actually the kids are, they all seem like in good shape. Thank God, you know. But you do, it breaks my heart to see a 5-6-year-old waddling along in the playground. It's
tragic. A lot of the times I do blame the parents. But in my case, like Harvey, you know, you could see I'm not big and my other kids aren't big and my family aren't big. But Harvey is big. Yeah. So unfortunately, he does like a chocolate muffin. Mm. So as a treat, I sometimes give him a chocolate muffin. So if, say, someone outside would see him eating a chocolate muffin, they must be thinking, oh, no wonder he's like fat because you feed him like that, which we don't. He's actually on quite a strict diet. But, you know, he is a kid and it's still like rewards and treats, you know.
And how is his health generally? Is he doing okay? Like, is he, what age is he now, Harvey?
He's 12.
Yeah.
He's nearly the height of me. Yes. And he's the king of the house.
Yeah.
It's all about Harvey.
Yeah.
I can't open the front door because Harvey has to open. He controls everything in that house. But he's such a character. He's so funny.
Yeah.
So
and
funny.
And does he have any sights?
Yeah, I don't know what he can see. What's the lettering number? I think it's number 45 he can see. I just said it, I don't know what he can see, but then I'm saying what
no,
he
but
can
I
read.
Know. It's
he was born blind,
it.
But yeah. he knows all his colours. He's obsessed with drawing. He draws the Gatwick Express train all the time. I don't
That's
know why.
Great.
And frogs.
It's a good train. I love
it. He's obsessed with it. And rides, theme park rides. So he can see something. But I'm not worried about his eyes. I'm more worried about his weight, his behaviour, and him getting on in life. But it's not his eyes that I'm worried about.
No, I think you're doing an amazing job.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of tweets coming in. So first of all, look, we've got lots of people. Luke J. Inglis is very excited about the show and says, welcome to FUBAR, Katie. Hayley has just tuned in. Jenny Chataway, excited to tune in to Miss Katie Price on FUBAR Radio. Good luck. Hashtag here we go. Craig Scott, excited about
Craig.
Katie. Oh, do we know who is Craig?
Oh, he's one of my fans. He knows everything about me. But it's fascinating because I get some fans, especially like Craig, before something comes out, he tells me. And I'm like, God, Craig, how do you know all this before I know? But it's brilliant.
Craig Scott is also saying, Katie Price is coming across brilliantly on FUBAR Radio. I'm howling about the tramp story. This is where a tramp shouted some kind of words of encouragement to you.
Yeah.
And you just thought, the world's gone mad when a man who has no home and no money and no shoes... Is,
and it makes me a compliment.
I know.
And it put a smile on my face.
It's very sweet. Emma Walker, absolutely loving Katie Price on FUBAR Radio. And Rosie Beaver. Oh, now Rosie Beaver is a friend of the show. Producer Talia. Rosie Beaver is...
She's from Drag Queens of London.
Drag Queens, an amazing drag queen. Do you like a drag queen?
Do you know, I'd love to be able to do their makeup.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yes.
They're brilliant.
Love it.
And
is
it, let's just get this sorted out for once. Women are incredible and they are perfect and they are cleverer and better.
I do
in
like
every
drag
way.
Queens, but I not the way my ex did it because he wasn't a drag queen. I'm just putting that in perspective.
Yeah,
it's
what was
completely
that? That
different.
Was, yeah, that was Alex, wasn't it?
Yes.
What happened there? Does he just have that bent, that cross dressing bent? Or what
completely,
is it?
Yes. That's why I couldn't be with him anymore.
Did you know about it when you were like getting hitched?
I asked him about it and he was very like, I've only done it for a laugh. And it was Sol, my trainer at the time, who said, have you seen him dressed up yet? And I thought he was mucking about and he actually wasn't. And I think because like I'm quite an open person and I opened a can of worms literally and it was more than what I would ever thought he could be. Thing is, I thought he was this cage fighter.
I know, proper a macho man.
But when I say... switched into woman mode from the point of shaving your legs, polish, makeup, tie, you name it, that was him. It was quite freaky, actually.
Yeah, so it's a bit too much. It was an obsession. Was it obsessional?
Well, I would like to have sex with a man doing it to me, not me being the man doing it like that to, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were like, it was weird. It was a kind of role reversal. Where
completely.
You wore the trousers in the house.
When he was Roxanne,
and he was bloody hell, Roxanne, the name's come out. I feel burdened by the knowledge that his
I've actually named a drink it, because we used to drink vodka and Malibu, but you have to try vodka, Malibu and Coke. I always get everyone to try, but I call it the Roxanne drink, because it really does the trick. It gets you drunk so quick.
He's not a bad person, is he? Just a bit of a silly sausage?
I wouldn't say he's
else?
A bad person, but he's just obviously got issues.
Yeah, and it didn't work. And you're not in touch with him either.
He's tried to send me a few emails and stuff, what's happened and stuff, but I haven't replied back.
Fair enough. Rosie Beaver, who is an iconic drag queen, has just said, Katie Price borrowed my lip gloss in Madame Jojo's one time.
Oh, well, I'd like to try your wigs on, your costumes, your shoes and everything. So bring it my way.
Text from an anonymous fan. Katie, major fan, but don't fall for Kieran's lies. He is only a sex addict now that he was caught cheating. You might forgive, but your fans won't. And five kisses.
Aww.
They love you. And we all do. It's FUBAR Radio. We've got a lot more stories to get through. And we've also got somebody from Producer Talia, Now Magazine, that Katie has a
Yeah, Caroline Millington's coming in.
Caroline Millington. Do you know Caroline?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So she's going to bring us all the kind of big showbiz gossip, which I'm very excited about.
I am as well. I love it.
It's going to be good. Also, you can communicate with us in so many different ways at FUBAR Radio. You can email Dolan at FUBARradio.com. Katie's, what's your Twitter handle? Is it at?
At Miss Katie Price.
At Miss Katie Price. We've got about 2 million followers, something crazy like that.
Something. 1.9, actually.
There you
I
go.
Think.
And growing. It'll be 2 by the end of this show. It's FUBAR Radio. Many more stories from the papers. Let's have a record now. This, we've got to say, is a fabulous song. This is Allo Black, I Need a Dollar. It's FUBAR Radio. It's 10:58. There is, which we're going to come to in a moment, a story on the front page of the Sunday Sport. And the headline is Katie Price in Hotel Sex Tape Shock. Now, the thing about most radio stations, Radio 5 Live, all those other, you know, Radio 2, those, you know, the old-fashioned style radio outlets that are heavily regulated and, oh God, all the commercial ones with adverts, none of that on FUBAR. But the other thing is that there's a story about Katie Price. It's on the front page of the Sunday Sport. We'll find out whether it's true, whether there's any veracity, because we can actually ask Katie Price, who is here. That's the only outlet on the planet.
Newspaper, that is to be on the cover of. Bring it on.
We are going to find out all about that. We've also got, I'm very excited to say, Caroline Millington, who's the assistant editor of Now Magazine, which is the gossip weekly. It's the must read. She joins us in the studio to go through the big gossipy stories of the day. Katie Price and Mark Dolan. It's 10:59 on FUBAR Radio.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It's 11:03 on FUBAR Radio. It's the world's largest unregulated ad-free radio network. Katie Price star signing every single Tuesday until that cheeky little baby. But I do know that you are such a workaholic that you'll probably be back in the studio with the baby. Will be like 3 days old and we'll be broadcasting.
Well, because I'm having a cesarean, I've got a walk, so I need at least 5 days off. To be able to walk.
We'll give you 5 days off and then we'll get you in. Yeah. You can do the whole thing laid down if you want.
Oh, I can do it over the phone at home if there's a way.
Let's phone it. Maybe I'll come to you.
I would do that as well.
Sunday Sport, by the way, we need to kind of touch on this because there's a story. Front page news here. Katie Price in hotel sex tape shock. Were you shocked about this?
Well, I was because I thought I haven't done a sex tape in a hotel. But then you open the page.
Here we go.
And wham, bam.
The headline is, that cheating bastard's sex tape is killing me. Katie Price is facing fresh heartbreak after her cheating husband was filmed romping with a porn star in a triple X-rated homemade sex tape. Do you think this sex tape is true? Is that actually him?
Right, I can give you the history on this because I know everything about this. That's actually one of his ex-girlfriends he was with.
All right.
And Paige Turner, she's a porn star. She does things with her mum. You can see it online and her dad films it.
Right. Is she called Paige Turner?
Yeah.
Because I would put that down as like a Charles Dickens novel would be a Paige Turner,
but that's
not
what
a
she
porn
goes on
star.
And Kieran told me that they did this. This was before me, obviously. They filmed this in her bedroom and there was a man filming it. And he took Viagra, didn't come, and at the end of it, she edited it, put Gaviscon in her mouth as if he had come. So he didn't actually come, it was all fake. But he was going out with her and she said to him, I want to show you what I do at work. So I knew about this, so I'm not shocked by it.
You're not shocked, but it's quite embarrassing for him, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Well, and her, but it just goes to show he doesn't just go for skinny women.
And I'm interested by the choice, Caroline Millington, co-editor, assistant editor, no, junior editor, what's your title?
Assistant editor.
Assistant editor at Now Magazine, which is my favourite popular culture read.
Thank you.
I'm surprised by the Gaviscon trick. I feel cheated now.
Well, I didn't know, but he told me all of that, so I'm not bothered by that at all. Everyone has sex, everyone's got a pass. I knew about this, so it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
And like I said, he was on Viagra, so gutted love. You couldn't keep it up without it. And you couldn't make him come, which is why you needed Gaviscon. That's why. See you later.
This porn thing is weird, isn't it? What do you think of porn?
There's nothing wrong with a bit of Pornhub, Mushroom Tube.
I always got, because I'm at that age now where I engage with a storyline more. I'm always gutted that they don't fix the boiler.
I think men.
You got that many
pizza
plumbers?
Delivery?
Yeah.
I don't like all the role plays. There's certain exes I've been with, and I haven't had that many because I know a lot of people going, yeah, you've been with loads, but I actually haven't. Every time we had sex, they wanted me to tell a story every time. So, you know, every guy is different.
That gives a different note to a bedtime story with Katie Price.
Well, there you go. But like you say, I think men look at sex different. They need visual. I think women are quite good. They can use their imagination.
That's why 50 Shades is so well, because it was
I've
it
never
was a
read
book.
That book.
Oh.
No.
So it's a book. So for women, everyone went crazy reading it, because for women, it's like you're reading it, you're using your imagination, whereas guys, visual.
Yeah, they definitely need visual men.
And you get the feeling that pornography is obviously made by men. It's mostly for men. And you can see that by the nonsense that, you know, with women pretending to have a good time and all of that.
Oh, the noises and that. It's like if you want to act like a werewolf and scream and all of that. And, you know, when you're coming, you just cough or just tighten it and you make out your cum, didn't you? But why do you need to pretend? If a man can't make you cum, then piss off.
Especially when all the female porn stars are far more attractive than a lot of the men, like Jeremy.
Yes. The legend. I know there's Bend Over and Jeremy.
That's what I want to name my next Range Rover. You know where it's got Range Rover? I want to put Bend Over.
Yes. Have you met Bend Over?
I haven't actually.
He's actually a very nice man. He's quite humble. He's quite polite.
And
he's quite shy.
And he's the dad of Tiger from Outnumbered as well, who's been doing some documentaries recently on porn and relationships.
Didn't you do a show on something like that?
I did. Can I just put it out there? I've never done porn. Although, can I just say,
sure?
God knows I've tried. But the thing is, and here's the truth. I did. I made a sort of series of documentaries, Channel 4, about extraordinary people. It started with the smallest man and the hairiest man in the world and the tallest woman. But then with series 3, we got into plastic surgery and the world's largest breasts. Which was fascinating. And there's a lady called Shayla Hershey. Have you heard of Shayla Hershey?
Is that the one that Philip Schofield got very up close to in the pic? She was on This Morning.
Really?
And he like nudged in so he could fill them with his arm, because he was like, yeah.
Phil's got,
was it bigger than Lola Ferrari's?
Yeah, sadly, she passed away before we were doing that series, because she's a victim of that, because she got very ill.
When you say
them.
That, you look down at my chest thing. Can I just say something? Mine look like bee stings compared to theirs.
I'm not even going to go there. But no, it was amazing. This is Shayla Hershey, and there's also a lady in Vegas who's actually from South Korea called Minka. Have you heard of Minka?
No.
And she's got 450 cc's in each boob, which is obscene.
I've got 1,600 in each, which
I've
is still quite a lot.
Backache. Backache.
Do you know what? I don't, because I've always had them.
Yeah.
You know, and I horse ride and I've done the marathon and I'm trained. I never, ever get backache.
Well, I know Minka, who I met in Vegas, is incredibly fit and did yoga and everything. And she's like, if I didn't do that, then she would, her back would just snap in two. Because can you imagine carrying that around with you all day? You were always very lovely. And we talked about when you were 18 and you were probably
natural,
not, you weren't enhanced. What made you do that? Was it because
all
those women I met, it was about becoming famous? They just thought, I don't really like having the huge boobs, but I just want to be a star. Was that your approach as well?
No, even when I was at school and I put loads of pads in my bra to make them bigger, and I went to Transform and they said they won't do my boobs unless my parents signed for it, because you have to be 18. So as soon as I turned 18, I was like, yes, I can do my boobs. But what I wish I did do is go bigger straight away, otherwise I wouldn't have had to do the little ones in between. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because every surgery is still a big upheaval for the body, isn't it?
And a lot of women I've spoke to, they always wish they went bigger, because they get used to the swollen look and then they go down. But not a lot of people have boob jobs to go big. Some people just have them, just, you know, they might have breastfed and got teabag tits and they just want to pump them up again. Mine are like orangutans at the moment, because I've been pregnant for 2 years and they're like, I could put the whole cutlery bloody set under mine and it'd probably hold them.
the armpit thing.
Exactly.
You've obviously got, there's no regrets. Are you done now with the plastic surgery?
No, I will do my boobs again.
Why is that?
Because they were absolutely amazing before I met Kieran, and got pregnant. They were the best tits I'd ever had. And then 3 months later, I fall pregnant.
Right. And obviously that affects it because then you've got grow. But won't they just bounce back to how they were once the
No, I think I'll go a little bit smaller this time.
I see.
The more
I see.
Pert.
Does the body respond to like the change with the implants and everything? Do they work in that way? Do they respond?
Do you know, I've been really lucky, touch wood, that the amount of... I don't know how many I've had. About five, I think. I can't even think. I'd have to Google it. That knows more than me.
But you've never had any plastic surgery
nightmares? I'm really lucky.
And,
I got an infection with this last lot, but and it healed. But I'm scarring and everything. I'm pretty good.
Yeah. So that's it. So are you somebody that would have always have procedures right until you're an old lady? Will you just keep the upkeep on
your body? I'd never say never. And the thing is with me, I'm always honest about it. Like I say, there's so many people out there and celebs who are like, oh, I'm so natural. And it's like, bollocks, are you natural?
You need to be like Dolly Parton.
But I think she looks amazing. I think Sharon Osbourne looks amazing, you know. So what if people want surgery? All right, you can go a bit too far. And I admit sometimes when I've done my lips, I look like a duck. But it's like, I know people say it, but I do look in the mirror and I know myself if I've had too much of something.
You know, Caroline, you're at the kind of forefront of showbiz journalism in this country with this amazing platform of Now Magazine. Do you feel like, you know, where are the celebs at the moment with plastic surgery? Is it still kind
they
of
all lie.
Everyone's going for it?
I think they do. I think a lot of people are trying to do far more natural look. You look at Victoria Beckham, and she talked last year in an interview, and they were like, oh, where are your boobs gone? And she's like, oh, I think I bought them. They've gone. So she went back to sort of an au naturel look. A lot of them are doing more natural things with their faces as well. So it's less about cutting and surgery and more about fillers, Botox, microdermabrasion. So they're trying to do it subtly to hold back the years rather than have like really tight facelifts. Yeah. But it's still, I mean, you look at the TOWIE cast, like Chloe Sims had her teeth redone because her veneers were far too big for her mouth and she looks better for it. And a lot of people are toning back the Botox or toning back the fillers.
Well, I always think the trick with plastic surgery is that the trick is not to get addicted to it, because what normally happens is people have a little procedure, like let's say they've got a horrible hooked nose, or maybe there's a belly and they get the tummy tuck, or bags under the eyes. They get a little procedure done. It's like a nip and a tuck, and you don't even know that they've had plastic surgery. The problem
but
is
I've
that
done
they,
it and I've tried it and I talk about it, but I agree with you. They do it. Yeah, go on. I interrupted.
No, that's it. They're hooked on it and then they go back for too much. But if they'd only stopped while they look good.
Yeah.
I think once they see that they've improved themselves slightly, whether it's like reducing wrinkles or a nose job or getting their boobs, and they're like, oh, what can I do next? So they end up doing loads of tweaks, but actually they end up not looking like themselves because they've done too many of them rather than just stick with some baby Botox or just have...
Oh, there's no such thing as baby Botox. If you're going to have Botox, just shove the whole syringe in, please.
Have you done Botox? Do you believe in Botox?
I love it. It's better than any cream. I say that. I put cream on just to moisturise. But what you've got to remember is I don't have Botox and all this to look younger, because you're going to look old anyway. Who wants a perfect face but a turkey neck and like wrinkly hands? You're going to get old. You're going to get wrinkles.
We've
whatever
talked about,
happens.
Yeah, you wanting to look the best that you can look, but not. You were saying, I'm going to embrace getting older. You're not scared of getting older.
I'm definitely
not
scared
about,
of getting older.
Yeah, the older you get, the better, because you can do what the hell you like.
I just think when people compare my pictures to years ago, it's like, well, of course I'm going to look different. I'm sure if everyone got pictures of what they look like from 18 to 36, it makes me laugh when mags do this. Of course I'm going to look different. But I think as you get older, you know what suits you more. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
But I think, I mean, now readers, they know who's had work done and who hasn't. And I think you can see whether the scarring or not. They turn up with big lips, or they turn up and suddenly they've got boobs. And you just think there's only so much a Wonder Bar can do.
Maybe kind of a good example. I don't know if Kylie's had plastic surgery, but she must have had something done. But she looks good, but she doesn't look overly operated on, does she?
I think the same with Danny. Danny Minogue said, you know, had Botox, stopped it. So I think it's that kind of...
Caprice is the one that makes me laugh. She says she's so natural. Get lost, Caprice. You're old. Show us your passport.
Now, on that note, Now Magazine. So let's get through a few of the big stories. We were just discussing Gwyneth and who are, I've got to say, you know, the most tedious showbiz couple the world has ever seen, Gwyneth and Chris Martin.
Yes.
Who are consciously recoupling.
Consciously
recoupling. Or are they? Are they going to get it back on again? Is that the plan?
Do you know what? They are spending more time together since they split up than we ever saw them hanging out. It was really strange because they were always the most private couple. They wouldn't go to do a red carpet together. They wouldn't be in a car together. They'd walk on separate sides of the road. It was as if they didn't want to be seen together. It was very odd for a loved up married couple.
Yeah.
Then they put on a huge display of affection in public and everyone was like, oh my God, they're so loved up. This is incredible. Like, they're so happy. And then she posts on her Goop about consciously uncoupling, which is the most ridiculous way of saying we're splitting up, we want different things.
Sometimes though, isn't that, and who knows for Katie as well, but sometimes an upheaval in a relationship, when there's a big explosion and it all goes nuclear,
yeah.
There are two ways that that relationship can go then. It's like, okay, bye-bye forever. Or you sit down and you think, right, I've had a break. We've both had a break. The dust has settled. Let's see how we can fix this and make sure this never goes wrong again. And sometimes when couples do that, they never look back.
I do completely agree that maybe it's a chance they've reassessed. But they were kind of living separate lives maybe for up to a year before. They talked about spending time apart before. So surely, before you go public with a big, we've split, and having to tell their children and to go through all that, they would have done all the assessing before announcing it to the world. But they look really happy together now. So whether it's a case of, well, I can't live with you, but I can't live without you as a co-parent.
But I don't know what happened with them. But obviously, in my situation, it is one of the most horrific things you can be in. And like I say, I'm not ruling anything out. He's getting help. And like I say, time's a healer. My situation's different. I have to be adult about the situation. And normally I think people would expect me to go and do stories and talk about this, that. But, you know, I've come to a point. It is a serious matter. I've got children. You know, I've done absolute nothing wrong. He's obviously been with my best friend and another woman. And you know, all I can do is deal with this situation, get him help, and who knows, like, he might end up being better than he was before. You know, time is a healer. I know people get rid of him, dump him, this and that. And if a friend was telling me what had happened, I'd be like saying the same, get rid of him. But when you're in that situation, sometimes you have to be adult and assess and then think, was it normal what he's done? No, it bloody wasn't, because obviously I know the full story of when things started and what happened. It isn't normal what he's done at all. So it can't be that normal in the head to have done what he's done. So I mean, he's getting help. So I can only stick by and just see what happens.
We've talked a little bit about it in your Now column, and you've touched on it. And I know you haven't sold your story. You know, you haven't,
I haven't
gone. So the most you said is in your Now column. But I also know, and I think we spoke last week, it's a case of waiting and see, and especially in your situation, you're expecting your second child with Kieran.
Yeah.
I think no one would, if you walked away now, you know, you need to take the time so that whether you decide to work on your marriage and see if it's worth, you know, if he's
and
worthy
I have
of
to,
you.
And I have to see that he's making a difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Or there's no rush. I don't think it's fair to go, well, you shouldn't, you know, you should be rushing in there. You should be filing for divorce. It's up to you. And I think, especially in the situation when you're carrying a child, you know, have the baby, take your time. I think that's what everybody just wants to wish, you know, wish you well. All the, you know, the readers and the fans on Twitter, everyone's saying, go look after yourself.
Yeah, but you're actually number one. You are the most important thing. It's not about this silly sausage of a man at this stage. It's all about you, actually. Put yourself first. But once you're better and strong, because you can't be strong when you're carrying a baby in your body.
Well, what you've got to remember is,
well, you can
I've been
be very
pregnant.
Strong, actually, Mark.
Well, that's a good point.
But I've, like I say, been pregnant for 2 years, and my hormones haven't even settled from jet. So Kieran's only known me being pregnant. He hasn't really. And
that's
it's
not
my
an
fault
excuse,
for Russia.
Though. That's not
oh, no,
an excuse.
There's absolute no excuse.
I know what
absolute
needs to happen.
No excuse.
This is my little Dr. Phil moment.
It's
in
disgusting.
Show.
And what he's done to me is cruel.
It is.
Disgusting. And what she's done
but
is
there's
disgusting.
No time limit on you making any decisions, especially when they're such life changing and you've got Jet and you've got your unborn daughter and you've got the others to think about as well. You just do what you need to do.
I think it's like a nuclear situation you guys have got, and I think that it's going to be like brokering peace in the Middle East, right?
Yeah.
And I think the way they do it in the Middle East is land for peace. So Israel give up a bit of territory to the Palestinians, right? And I think this is like you and, I'm not going to say his name because I'm so cross with him.
Yeah, don't want everyone is and
both.
He knows it. Yeah. Everyone knows
but,
it. He knows it.
But it's land for peace. So what will probably have to happen in the end is that you will potentially allow him back in your life. So in a way, what you're trading is it's your forgiveness, but what he's got to
do. I won't forgive him or forget, though.
No, well, that's
dealing
it.
With
all
it.
Right, so what you do is
that's looking if it's worth pursuing.
You let him
it's
back in your life, but he's got to change. And if he can't prove that he's changed, then bye-bye.
All I say is thank God for Jeremy Kyle's show, because I'm such a fan of it.
Oh, the lie detector.
So the lie detector on his show I use, and that's how I got the truth out.
Really?
Because he failed it twice.
Absolutely loving Katie Price. This is on social media. My name is also Katie Price, and I've just got engaged to my girlfriend, Sammy. Did you, Katie, ever cross to the wild side? Love you lots, Katie, from Katie.
Thanks, Katie. Katie Price.
Have you ever flirted with another lady in that manner, like Katie is suggesting in that tweet?
Oh, what, have I ever done anything with women? Mm. Oh, well, if you read my book, you would have known the Playboy Mansion, and I think everyone's dealt with the opposite sex, haven't they?
I love it. listen, I've got a fabulous story here for you. Mail Online. North's first diamonds, baby Nori reveals newly pierced ears as Kim Kardashian and Kanye West mark her birthday. Now, Caroline, aren't Kim and Kanye now the most famous couple on the planet?
Okay, so I'm obsessed with the Kardashians.
Okay.
Just putting it out there. I think they're great just to watch them. I've got no idea what world they live in, because it seems to be completely different to any of ours. But piercing North's ears, it's her first birthday was this week, and if they are real diamonds...
Let's nick them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, how much is that baby worth? I don't know. They're splashing the cash quite a bit. I don't think you should pierce really young babies' ears. More from like a safety point of view. Like they, I mean,
I was going to bring this up. I wanted to mention this in my column this week, because obviously I had my ears pierced when I was 7, and it's Princess's birthday soon. I'll probably have lawyers' letters on the phone of what I'm going to say now from the opposite. I don't know whether, because she keeps saying about getting her ears pierced, whether to get them done or not.
How old is she?
She'd be 7.
Well, I was maybe, 14.
Maybe this is a clap and slap, because we've got a little device on this show. Did you know
about
this?
I'd like advice, because it's not that I would do what I want to do anyway, but the thing is it right or is it wrong, or should I make her wait till she's older, or what do you do?
I think it's quite nice maybe either at 10 when they're like, they've got double digits. Or, you know, when they're little. But the only thing is, I know the horror stories was you can't have your ears pierced, because if you're playing tag in that playground,
that's what
and
I
they
thought,
get ripped
yeah.
out,
yeah.
that's more the danger. It's not the aesthetics. Babies, I just think it looks silly. They don't need to wear earrings. They're a baby.
And she probably goes to a posh school where they wouldn't let her wear earrings while she's at school. Would that be right?
Well, sometimes she goes with nail varnish and gets told off.
But you allowed jewellery on? If not, you have to pierce them in the summer for the 6-week heal up.
Oh, is that what you do?
Yeah, that's what I do.
Producer
but
Talia.
I don't know what to do.
Producer Talia, can we help Katie? When can we do the clap and slap? Producer
we can do
Talia?
It before the next song, so people can vote. They can say clap if you think.
So what, can we do it now? We can set it up, can we?
We can set it up, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, what we're going to do, right, it's like a voting mechanism on the Fubar app, Katie.
For our 7th birthday.
All right, so it's called clap and slap. And what happens is that people are on, they listen to this show on the app, and there's one thing which says clap and there's another button that says slap. If they agree with the question, they hit clap, and if they disagree, they go slap. So if you think that Princess for her 7th birthday should have the ear piercing, just help Katie wants your advice, right? Clap.
And Pete, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're not, I'm not saying I'm doing it, I'm just asking advice.
There you go, you're putting it out there. So clap. And yes, Princess gets her ears pierced. And slap if not. So clap for yes, slap for no. We'll find out the results after this record. More from Caroline from Now Magazine as well. And much more from Katie Price on Fubar, the world's largest ad-free, unregulated radio network. Let's have a little bit of Florence and the Machine and Spectrum.
Mark and Katie on Fubar Radio.
It's Mark Dolan and Katie Price on the radio at 11:27. We're with you right through till 1 o'clock, and we're here every single Tuesday. And Fubar Radio is 24 hours a day of ad-free, unregulated radio. Caroline Millington joins us in the studio, assistant editor at Now Magazine. Caroline, a couple of other things. Basically, Prince George seems to have kind of been revealed to the world now, because he's been quiet for a while. We've not seen much of him. And obviously the firm, which is the, you know, nickname of the royal family, have made a strategic decision. Okay, let's go live with Prince George.
Let's go live. I like that. Yeah, it was Father's Day. And when it was Mother's Day last year, they released a picture of one of those official ones in the window. I don't know if you remember, it was Kate and the Lupo the dog and Prince William. It was Father's Day, so we were like, oh, what are they going to do? They just got him out of the polo to watch Daddy play polo.
I know.
And he had a little kickabout.
Yeah, they did have
lovely.
A bit of a kickabout. So a few things to observe. First of all, little George is doing very well. There's a lot of the press over the weekend. It was very much like, oh, hasn't he grown? Because, I mean, that's the ultimate sort of celeb family, isn't it? The royal family.
Oh, yes.
They're at the top of the food chain in terms of, like, status in this country, fame.
They're kind of untouchable because they're the royal family. So you never really know what's going on behind closed doors. They're not going to be doing interviews willy-nilly, are they? So you want to know what's going on with them.
And the thing is, Katie, young Kate Middleton, your namesake, she hasn't really put a foot wrong, has she, in her kind of public life? She seems to be playing it quite well, if you can play it.
I think they're like a perfect couple. Yeah. I do.
They're smitten still.
Yeah.
The only thing Kate's done is not put weights in her skirts. She
I thought you were going to say not put weight on.
Oh,
so
no.
We can all feel better about
she
ourselves.
She looks fantastic, but she's not
she's
weighted
not
a skirt. And they keep blowing up every now and again.
Yeah.
At least she wears knickers.
That's true. Well, we hope so.
Yeah, she's had a few. I mean, unfortunately, she, you know, it took a while to get used to being a royal. And I think she was, like a lot, any number of females will do on the continent, which is I think she was bikini-less, at least topless, on, and then obviously someone got that
on
shot.
On a private terrace, though.
On
so
a private terrace.
I just think she, you know, she can't go somewhere private to somebody topless. You know, no one wants strap marks. Why shouldn't she be able to do
that? But isn't
that
it? Isn't it just go figure? If you're famous like that,
I was going to say, you know, that's part and parcel of being in the public eye is, if they want that picture there, get it. But I agree, when you're on private property, it should be private.
And it was, I think, an island, and I think the pictures were taken long lens from a boat. So, you know, there was no way that they were flaunting themselves. It's not like she's sunbathing on the roof of Buckingham Palace or something.
But I think she does work. It must be hard work, you know, because she's all around doing her stuff. And it's quite hard work, you know. Say if she's having a shit day, but she has to put the smiles on and do it. I'm sure she doesn't really have shit days.
I wonder whether, I know, I mean, comparing sort of someone like Princess Kate, Duchess of Cambridge, to yourself, Katie, is that at least you're kind of in control of your career and you can decide to be grumpy and you can go and tell the paparazzi to bugger off. And, you know, whereas she's got, it's quite hard with the royals, this code of behaviour that she's got for life now.
Mm.
And the minute she tells some photographer to bugger off, it's like going to be a PR disaster.
It's a bit of a grin and bear it. Isn't it? I mean, there was that slip up years ago now. Do you remember when Prince Charles, they were posing with William and Harry on the ski slopes, and he muttered something about one of the Mitchell from BBC and was like, oh, that blasted man or something, and got picked up by the microphones.
That's
so they obviously have those thoughts, and they obviously don't always want to be working. But I think over the probably last 5 years, they've worked with the press a lot more closely, inviting them along and getting a lot more support for their charity works. And it's a coexisting relationship. They need sort of the press and the public support for the things they want to highlight, environmental causes and all their charity work, to get coverage. And I think the press have done a lot of good with respecting where that line's been drawn. When Kate's skirt did blow up recently and it was published in a German magazine, none of the British press published that.
That's
and
good.
She had a day off in Australia and was papped just playing with Prince George in the garden and walking around, and the Aussie mags all published those pictures but none of the British press did. So there's obviously quite a good coexisting relationship.
So you get
now
the feeling now, this little family, you know, Kate and you know, Prince William and then little George, this is the best thing that's happened to the royal family in decades, isn't it?
Yeah, that royal wedding was epic. It was so much fun. But I'm all about Prince Harry. I love Prince Harry.
He's quite fit.
Yeah, very fit.
Yeah, what is it about? Why is it Harry and not Will?
What do they say about Ginger?
I don't know.
Massive.
I can read between the lines. We've got the results of the clap and slap poll.
Ooh.
Which is very exciting. This is about whether Princess Katie's 6-year-old, who
should be seven next week,
she'll be seven next week, whether or not for her birthday she should have her ears pierced. It has to be decided with Daddy anyway, we know that. But this is at least the public and
Does
what
it?
They think. Does it even? I don't know. Clap and slap. So we've got 62.7% say that she should have it done.
Uh-huh.
I don't think seven is extreme. I think three is extreme. I don't think seven is
I know
extreme.
I had mine done at seven.
That's it. Like mummy, like daughter. How do you feel about your little girl being in a similar business to you? If she said, look, mum, I'm going to be Katie Price Mark II, would you be like, no, please go and be an accountant?
Do you know, whatever my kids want to do, they want to do. But I would advise anyone, even now, going into this, the industry is completely different now to what it was when I started. I think, I don't know if that's because I've grown up or because it really has changed.
I think, like, it's changed a lot.
The lads mags are all different. The whole glamour thing. I couldn't even name you top five page three girls.
I think
whereas years when I did it, you knew who the page three girls were.
It's oversaturated now, I think.
Yeah.
When you were there, it was like there was the names, wasn't there? You know, Melinda Messenger and then you and everybody else. And I think now it's just saturation point because it's, I think because of the invention of the internet, no one just buys, you know, page three for some titillation. Everything's out there already. So,
I mean, do you think, Caroline, that Katie established this concept? Like, I mean, in a way, Katie, you're before reality TV, in fact. You were big before even Big Brother.
She nearly invented it, really. Reality TV.
Well, I've done it like
exactly.
a decade.
You can't have invented it.
And watch the space on that, by the way.
Oh, hello. Ooh. Little tidbit there. Mm-hmm. Would you put yourself through that again?
Yeah, 100%.
Because remind me what
watch
you did.
The space.
You went in the jungle, didn't you?
Yeah, twice.
Because we know that because you met your ex-husband.
And then
the
I did it again and then walked out because I was voted to do the challenges every day.
Oh, yeah.
And because I swore on my kid's life, I said, I swear on my kid's life, if I get voted again, I'm walking. And they did vote me. And because I swore on my kid's life, that's why I left. Because I thought if I didn't, I've sworn on my kid's life. That's why I had to walk. But for 2 hours, they had me in, like, you know where you sit and talk. What do they call it?
The video hub.
Yeah,
the diary room sort of thing.
For 2 hours, everyone talking to me. Oh, your mum's doing this. Your manager says this. And they're like, Kate, just stay in. You're doing really well. I said, no, I'm going. I said, please, you're driving me nuts, keeping me in here. But they did try to keep me in. But I swore my kid's life. So that's why
How did you physically keep going in the jungle, though? Because, I mean, doing all those challenges, and it's very physically demanding, and I don't imagine you're getting a good night's sleep in the jungle.
No, see, I like watching Big Brother as well. And when I compare them both, I think Big Brother is harder in the way because they do more psychological games
Definitely.
With you. Whereas I know that in the jungle, you really are hungry, you're starving, and you're so bored. And, you know, and if it rains and your clothes are damp, you don't get other clothes, you just get like two pairs of whatever, you know, your trousers and your tops. And because I was doing all the challenges all the time, my clothes were smelling and damp, and I had nothing warm to change into, and I hate being cold, and having to wash in that cold water was the worst thing for me. But I definitely think Big Brother would be harder to do than I'm a Celeb.
Psychologically, definitely.
Yeah.
Couple of tweets, and then I've got a story about Wayne and Colleen Rooney. Okay, so first of all, let's have a look at this. This is from Tet Cutie Pie.
Oh, I know Tet as well.
Of course, you
know
everyone.
For years.
You look after your fans, don't you?
Yeah, she comes to my signings. Hello,
this
Tet.
This is the Miss Katie Price I know and love. No holds barred and having a laugh. Thoroughly enjoying Pricey and Mark Dolan together. Well, that's a great honour. Gareth McDonough.
Yeah, another one.
There you go.
Hi,
Big Gareth.
If
Princess wants them done and Kate's happy, I don't see the problem. Samantha Davies, you know her?
No, not a regular. Well, she might be, but I haven't seen.
Loving the show. Must be refreshing for Katie to be able to get her side over. We'll be listening every Tuesday. So I'm very excited about that. Also, we've got Richard McQuaid, who says, lovely photo of Katie Price. Looks gorgeous alongside the less gorgeous Mark Dolan. Let's be honest.
Aww.
Speaking of less gorgeous, Wayne Rooney. Now, he's in the World Cup. He's having a bit of a... Do either of you give a... A hoot about the
it's
World Cup.
It's on every night, isn't it? Obviously.
Yeah, you're saying that in a very bored, long-suffering sort of way. Like
I don't. No, I don't mind watching the England game, even though I fell asleep Saturday, but I'll stay awake this Thursday because I'm getting my nails done.
All right, that's good. And it's a bit earlier. It's 8 o'clock this
time.
Yeah,
so I'll be getting my nails done.
That'll be good. We're coming, Wayne, Colleen, Kai, Clay. Oh, it's a shocking set of Christian names, isn't it? Let's be honest. What not to call your kids, but anyway.
Mind you, look at Princess. I can't exactly talk.
Oh, yeah. The Rooney can head to Brazil to support their favourite England striker in the World Cup with 15 pieces of luggage. Colleen Rooney, so she's suffered a lot of abuse on Twitter for sending a tweet saying, I'm very proud of my husband, but because he didn't have the best game for the opening game. He did create one goal. But he also scuffed a lot of other chances.
But she's just being a supportive wife.
Well, that's
it. Anything wrong
Do you
with
know
that.
What I
mean? You're not going to tweet and go, oh, Wayne, you were crap. Like, she's going to have to say something nice.
Unfortunately, if you go on Twitter, even on mine, there's some vile people on there. But I bet they wouldn't say it to their face. I bet if they actually met Wayne and Colleen, yeah. they'd be like,
all
you know,
these Twitter trolls just hide behind their computers. Definitely. And they're really mean and horrible, and we should just ignore
you
all
can't
of
win
them.
Either way. You can't.
What do we think of the Rooneys in terms of like their sort of status as celebs? I mean, she's like, if you imagine that Victoria is not really a wag anymore because he doesn't play football anymore. Maybe, let's just take Victoria Beckham out of it. But is Colleen now the biggest wag? Is the top of the wag?
You see, I think
pyramid?
She thinks she is, or like I think you know she is up there. But I also think Alex Gerrard. I think Colleen
stunning.
And Alex are on a par.
Have you met Alex?
She's really nice.
But have you seen like?
Yeah, she's
her?
Gorgeous.
Don't you think she's one of the most stunning women I've ever met? Her eyes are just. She's amazing looking.
We had a really good interview with her in last week's magazine, and she, you know, she works out really hard, and she says that she's been getting some grief this week as well because I think she's on holiday
in Ibiza.
And everyone was like, "Oh, she shouldn't be in Ibiza. It's like, what's she going to do?" Stephen has said, like Steve Gerrard said, "Don't come out to Brazil. It's too far." They've got kids.
Exactly. How can she win? She's on holiday.
Exactly.
And she's getting stick. Colleen's flying out to Rooney. She's getting stick. It just goes to show you can't win either way. But as the top wag, I don't know, they've been through hell. You know, he's cheated on her. She's stuck by him. Same with David Beckham and Victoria. He was with Rebecca Lewis. And So, and Ryan Giggs with his missus. So couples can get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course they can. I mean, I think what people like about Colleen versus Alex Gerrard, perhaps, is that she's more real, perhaps.
Yeah.
In other words, she's more, you look at her, you think she's not so impossibly beautiful.
I think she's done more, hasn't she? Remember she did that programme, Colleen? I can't remember what it was called.
Yeah, there was like a documentary type thing. And she's got Little Woods or something. She does do
something
like design and clothes. So she does do her own work. Whereas
And then you've got Abby Clancy.
Yeah, that's true. But Pete Crouch isn't playing.
Oh yeah, not for England.
So it's actually really
course,
bad. If you're a wag and you're...
but
you're,
she's a wag.
If your husband, a footballer, is not in the World Cup or he ceases to be good at football, then that affects your sort
position.
Of share price, your position. So the husband's still got to be getting scoring the goals.
Yeah, of course.
Talking of football, I was saying, this is how out of touch I am. I was saying to my dad and my brother the other day, you know, is Frank Lampard playing for England? Is Jermaine Defoe going to be playing? Ashley Cole, they're like, Kate, they're getting older
they're
now.
All older.
And it makes you think, oh my God, footballers don't really have a long lifespan, do they?
No, they don't. They don't.
It's
or
like frightening.
Football,
like half the people in the team now, I don't really know them.
I'm a rugby girl, so I've not been taking too much notice. Yeah, I'm all about the World Cup next year, not this one. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, okay. I know footballers. Are, I mean, footballers they make the worst husbands, don't they? I would have thought.
I mean,
Katie's got a little bit of history on this one.
The thing is, I've never had a footballer as a boyfriend. Duh, what about Harvey's dad? But it wasn't really.
Child.
Well, he cheated as well, so bloody hell.
But they're a bit unreliable, aren't they?
But the thing is, I think with most footballers, they like to have their wife or girlfriend at home, so they're safe, they've got it at home. But obviously, they like to go out and push the boat and see what they can pull. But if they pulled someone like me, it wouldn't be competition because they can't buy me, I can't buy them. So it would give them a taste of their own medicine.
I think they like to be, they're proper alpha males in a way, aren't they? They like to provide for the lady at home. So I don't know. I wouldn't want to date a footballer.
No. Abigail Clancy, isn't she the prettiest of the wags though? Like the most naturally beautiful?
If I'm honest, she's pretty, but...
A bit skinny.
I'm going to, you know, nothing against her. I'm only saying what I think. I think her teeth are too big for her mouth and her lips are too overdone. I thought she looked better before she had them done.
Do you think she's had her lips?
And I'm not saying
up.
That horrible, but I think she looks, because I think she's stunning. Don't get me wrong,
she's
amazing
gorgeous.
Body, stunning. But I think she had her teeth done a bit too big and her mouth looks a bit funny.
I think she has got veneers.
Yeah.
So like a bit of a kind of like a Esther Hansen sort of look, which is not old. Janet Street.
I don't know quite like that. But yeah. But she
bad.
Is stunning. I'm
John
not knocking
Bishop.
Her.
Is she like a female John Bishop? Because he's got a big teeth.
He's got good teeth, though.
He's got a great mouth of teeth.
He's got glow-in-the-dark teeth.
It's the same like with Ryland. I think he was good-looking before. And he said, do you think my teeth are too much? But actually, when you see him in life, like on the telly, they look big. But when you actually see him, they're not as bad.
It's just because he smiles a lot, so there's a lot of teeth going on.
Yeah.
We like Ryland.
Well,
no,
listen,
he's great.
You know what? It's been a really interesting chat. Caroline... I want to thank you so much for joining us in the studio.
You've got a toodle pip off now.
She's got to go off and start assistant editing at Now Magazine.
Yeah.
It's going to be like every week Katie's column is it's a bombshell, isn't it? It's always a cat among the pigeons.
What do I talk about this time now? Because I've spoke a lot this week. We'll find stuff.
We'll find something.
One thing I always struggle on, though, is a villain and a hero.
Do you know, it's true. Every week you don't know who to put as your villain, which is a nice thing because you don't want to be...
But there's not really many villains you can do weekly.
Well,
not no we'll one thing because if you take out,
I could have a constant place for someone.
That would be nice.
A rotation of three people.
Well, Katie's weekly column is in Now Magazine, unmissable every Tuesday. Does that mean that the latest offering, the latest edition, is out today?
Yes, it came out this morning with Katie's column in. So,
do you know I was pregnant when I did them shots? I didn't even realise.
I know. So, like, we did. So we.
I just thought I'd say
that. We did an interview, was it 4 months ago, and like foot into the shoot to launch the column, and Katie's there with a stomach, like a flat stomach out in a crop
top. And when I looked, I was pregnant then.
Yeah,
it's weird,
we realised that afterwards. We were like, where's the bump?
I know.
But you didn't know.
And when I was on holiday, I didn't have a bump. As soon as I've come back, it's like, look at me now. It's massive.
Oh, there's a bump going on.
Not just a bump, it is like my third tit.
And on that note,
my boobs actually look small now compared to the bump.
I can't even go there. I'm just going to walk away from this one. Caroline Millington, thank you so much. Katie's column is out today. It's FUBAR Radio at FUBAR Radio. Why don't you send us a tweet? Communicate with us. And also dolan@fubarradio.com is our email address. This is Elbow, One Day Like This, and what a day we're having.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It's 11:51 on FUBAR Radio. Katie, are you having fun on the radio?
I'm loving it. Are you?
Yes, I managed to trick you into eating a pan au chocolat.
But let me just get one thing straight. I eat absolute shit. But with this pregnancy, I think because I was scarred with the last one, because how much weight I put on.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be a bit more healthier with this one.
And I'm not helping with my baked goods, am I?
No, but when you're hungry and there's nothing else, you just have to make do.
Yeah, next week, because I know you're all about healthy, I'm going to make a pit stop at like Holland and Barrett or something.
I'm not just that healthy.
Really? Okay.
Well,
what's
normally
good,
healthy in the day, but when it comes to night, I don't know about anyone else, I'm good in the day. The night time, it's like, oh, the tea. Well, should I have a biscuit? And it's never one biscuit, it's a packet. And then it's like, oh, well, I've ruined it. Let me get the crisps out, this, and then you just ruin it.
You do. Producer Talia, you're the same.
Yeah,
you're like the late
kind of
night
like,
munchies.
Yeah, and it's like once you start, you can't stop. You think, I may as well carry on.
So I think to myself, why didn't I just start the day like? At least I would have burnt it off through the day. But
I tell you what is banned from our house is just those big bags of kettle chips. I mean, is just like, it's like crystal meth. It's like crack. In our house, once they're open, they're gone.
That's it. And also, talking of things, do you remember wagon wheels?
Yeah.
Is it me? Have they got smaller, or is it because I'm bigger? And same with curly whirlies.
No, they all get smaller.
Tiny.
Cream eggs get smaller too.
Yes.
All the chocolate gets smaller.
And the Pizza Express pizzas have shrunk as well. They used to be. It used to be bigger than the plate.
It's weird, isn't it? I just like, especially with the wagon wheels. I swear they used to be bigger than that.
I know. You keep believing that, Katie. Now listen, here's the thing. We're going to talk about. There's been a lot of relationship stuff today, and there's a lot of people in the news who are kind of. We mentioned about Gwyneth and Chris Martin, who might just be getting back together. This conscious recoupling. Also, Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. They got it back together again. There's a quote which is from Michael, and he says, "You have to admit that you made a mistake." I think he's talking about himself. They announced they were taking a temporary break from their marriage in August 2012. And now that Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones' marriage seems to be back on track, the actor has spoken about learning from his mistakes. The 69-year-old spoke reflectively about what he has learned from life. As he said, first, you have to admit that you made a mistake. Then dealing with it is easy. Now, I'm quite surprised that a man of his status and fame and God knows he's won Oscars, he's one of the biggest movie stars in the world. It's quite something for a man like that to be humble enough to say, actually, I screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite refreshing, don't you think?
It is. And he was a sex addict as well, wasn't he?
He was.
And the thing people have got to remember with any addicts, you know, they will risk anything. It doesn't matter how in love they are with their family life or anything. It's their adrenaline. They would do anything. And it's only till they've been caught and stopped, then they realise what they've done. But unfortunately, they would keep going and going because it's like gamblers or anything. They would just gamble everything away and they end up losing the house, the family, alcoholics. It's the same thing. you know, and you're do need to get help for it. And for him to, I don't know what bit he's admitting at, but for him to admit that he's in the wrong and stuff and to get help, I think it's good. It's brave of him.
No, I think you're right about the addict, like the sex addict thing, because it's true. Why else would someone that's on drugs steal from their grandma and pawn their jewellery? Because it's the drug is everything. Now, let's speak to an absolute expert on relationships. Sex mentor and relationship expert, Veena Ramphal. Katie, what this woman doesn't know about the human soul, okay, and also about our libido and matters carnal, no one knows it like Veena. So, Veena, welcome to Food Bar Radio. Welcome to Katie and Mark on a Tuesday.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Katie.
Hi.
Now, Veena, it's great to have you on the show because we need a bit of expert guidance here. Because, I mean, the only thing that Katie and I know about relationships and all that stuff is that we've both been in a relationship. I'm very luckily, miraculously married to an incredible lady. I've got two kids. Relationships aren't easy, even for a globally famous celebrity like Michael Douglas, who seems to have, in a way, seems to have the right attitude if they're going to fix the problems they had, because it seems this reconciliation with him and Catherine Zeta-Jones has gained traction now and they're an item again. How hard is it to patch up when you've had a big split like that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I was looking at this story about their brief split and now they're back together again. And I think that what's interesting about that is that sometimes, because the dynamics in long-term relationship are so complex, actually sometimes having time apart is just exactly what you need to get a fresh perspective on the relationship. So I think it might sound counterintuitive, but actually sometimes taking time apart really does strengthen the relationship and brings a fresh layer and a fresh insight into it.
Yeah, I mean, I remember Emma Thompson a couple of weeks ago. She was asked about like the success of her marriage, and she actually said, "Oh well, the trick is to have like go and have a year off from each other every so often." Which sounds a little. I mean, that's going to be a hard sell to my missus. I've got to say, a year would be asking like a little too much. But how do we create that break in a relationship? How do you, if you don't have the freedom to? Some celebrities have got so many houses they can just live in different buildings. But how do you create that space?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. For most people, they're not going to be able to take a year apart or have, you know, go off to their house in Malibu and one of them stay there and the other one stay in London. So the key is to try and build in that solitude time into your daily life. So whether it's just, you know, 5 minutes to yourself, sometimes that really is all that people have when they have really busy schedules and looking after the kids and going to work and everything else, you know, between taking the recycling out and managing just the stuff of life. It is a question of taking those small moments and really making them your own. And what that means is it's about reconnecting with your own thoughts, your own mind, your own self, really having a space of solitude. And the way I like to think about it is that it's like having a romance with yourself. Okay, so just having that me time, that really precious me time, that allows you to reconnect to you as an individual and bring yourself apart from the coupledom.
Yeah, because you need to get yourself...
In long-term relationship, coupledom is really... it can really take over.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, Katie, don't you think that like, it's interesting with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Michael Douglas, they both had their own problems. You mentioned his self-confessed sex addiction. But also, then you've got, she was alleged to have had bipolar disorder, but she's definitely had sort of depression issues. Mm. And then also, there's the age gap, which can't have been easy, because, I mean, that is difficult. With an older man, that takes a bit of work, don't you think?
Are you asking me?
Well, Katie, what do you think?
Well, when they got together, I was shocked, you know, because he was a lot older than her. But I don't know, these days, I don't think age really matters that much. I think if you get on with someone, you get on with someone. And people got to remember, whatever relationship you're in, no relationship's perfect. No one knows what goes on behind closed doors. But I do agree that it's nice to have a bit of a break. Like, I was just thinking when you was talking, when do I actually get time on my own? The time on my own would be, no, you know, I know it's bad to say, but it was when I'm on the toilet or if I'm on a car journey.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, even when I have a bath at night, I've got the kids in the bath with me. I don't even have a bath on my own. It's like constant. Or if I just pop to Tesco's, I'm on my own in the car until I get to Tesco's.
And then there's people waiting for you outside Tesco and photographers and everything else.
Yeah, or people want to come and talk. So it's important, I think. And maybe I should take my own advice and think that sometimes space isn't a bad thing. It's a good thing.
But how, when you've got five children soon to be, I mean, Vina, how does one do that? When you're in a marriage and a demanding job and everything, how do you build in that space? What should she do?
Yeah, well, I think that because it is about making time within the schedule that you have, because you're not going to have half an hour that you can say, right, I'm taking off just to be with myself. So I think a good one for me, I think, is when you're in the shower. You know, shut the door when you're in the shower. And the reason that the shower is good is because water is a very cleansing and very, both physically but also emotionally, it has that really sort of lovely kind of clearing quality about it. And I think if you can just take that moment to relax and feel your muscles relax and feel the water falling over your skin in a very loving, almost sensual way, then you've kind of created a space that's probably not more than a few minutes, but it's really your own. And the trick there is to bring your whole attention to yourself in that moment. So don't let your mind go off to think about, have I given the kids breakfast or what's the next thing? And that's the real discipline. It really is a discipline of mind more than anything else.
It's easy said than done, because obviously my kids have a routine and they know that when it's bath time, they get in the bath with me. And to be honest, I like to make sure their hair's washed, they're clean. I do have a routine that, you know, they are in bed a certain sort of time, so you get the evening to yourself. But I do love having the bath with the kids and stuff, because it's like a mum thing, isn't it? Making them clean their pyjamas.
Yeah, yeah.
So I do love doing that. And I'm not a shower person, although when you was talking about it, I thought actually it probably would be nice just to like stand under the shower. But I do like my bath.
I like to. I mean, I sort of agree with Vina. I mean, bath time with the kids is great, but I actually value so much that time, especially if I'm on my own with the kids all day. That time at the end of the day for me. So what I do is I get them bathed and everything on their own, because they have a great time with each other anyway.
Yeah.
And then once you know that they're in bed, it's just that feeling of, okay, that's it, I'm done now, that full stop on the day. And that's when I do go and have that shower. And so maybe that would be a top tip.
Yeah, because I think, and even if it's not in the shower, I think, like you say, once you've put them to bed, if you know you've got the evening to yourself, then, you know, then you've got that time in your day that you can make me time in.
I guess when you're not expecting a baby, Katie, probably the horses, the horses and stuff, and general exercise is probably all. Because my thing is the best way for me, and my missus agrees, is just going for a run or going for a swim or something. Just getting out of the house.
Mm.
Exercise is good, because you do get. Katie can't really do that now because you're sort of in the family.
No,
way,
and I must admit, I am a people person, and my house, I've always got people around, and everyone always says, Kate, your house is never quiet. You've always got people, and you know, I've got animals everywhere because I live in the country. I've got chickens, geese, ducks, horses, dogs, you name it. There's always something. But I suppose I choose to live like that because I like having surroundings. But just, it's nice sometimes just to be in the car, put whatever music on. I don't have to talk to anyone. It's just sometimes it's nice to have a bit of time.
Now, a couple of quick things before Vina, I don't want to interrupt you there. What were you going to say to that?
No, I was going to say, it's interesting listening to you, Katie. It sounds like your time in the car, actually, maybe that's the time that you should kind of create for yourself as your me time and just say, right, this is my little treat myself. I'm just going to be with my own thoughts, be with my own body, just hang out with me. Because it sounds like, you know, you mentioned that a couple of times, being in the car.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Now, a couple of other quick stories before we let you go, Vina. Mick Jagger has been in the papers a lot. Obviously, the tragic loss of his partner, Loren Scott, was absolutely, absolutely appalling. It was a suicide. And he's clearly devastated about it. However, a small number of weeks later, 11 weeks later, he's been photographed on a hotel balcony with what would appear to be his latest squeeze. There's now speculation that perhaps that relationship predated Loren's tragic decision to take her own life. But it raises that question of bereavement and when the correct time is to begin a new relationship. And obviously the press have been pretty harsh about it, and they're saying this poor woman, basically she's, you know, only been gone 11 weeks and there he is at it again. What do you think about that process of bereavement and starting a new relationship? Because I wonder whether one of the biggest battles is just public opinion. Even if you're not a celebrity, it's just what your family will think, the fact that you're dating again. You know, what is the right length of time?
Yeah, exactly. I think the key thing there, you know, you mentioned that the press have been quite harsh, and I think the key thing for me is compassion, because it's bereavement is a massive, I mean, you know, it's the biggest kind of grief that people are going to experience, right? The loss of a loved one. And so I think that how, for me, the real lesson here is to say, well, how do we respond to another person's grief? How do we look at Mick Jagger's grief and the way he is, and how can we be compassionate about that rather than leaping to judge in the way that I imagine a lot of people have done? In terms of what's the right length of time, you know, it is such an intensely personal thing. And you're absolutely right, Mark, that the question of, you know, what will my friends and family think is one of the biggest fears that people have, because it's about, you know, they're already feeling very vulnerable because they've lost a loved one. And so, this, you know, at that time, we just want to kind of be cuddled and held by our friends and family. So then the thought of going out and dating and thinking, oh, my God, what are they going to think? Is difficult. So I think that it is such a personal thing. You know, some people will go for a year, maybe, or even longer. I mean, I've known people who've come to me and said, well, you know, it's been 5 years since my partner died, and I'm now starting to think that maybe I can date again. So it's a question of feeling into your, letting your heart guide you and say, okay, what feels right for me now? And as difficult as it might be, to sort of let go of the worry about what friends and family think. You know, if you've got to deal with the media and what public think as well, then of course that's a whole other layer.
Katie, he did look from those pictures on the balcony like he had let go of worrying about what other people thought, didn't he? Because, you know, he's a rock star.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Did you think it was a little, I don't know, did it seem to you a little, I don't know, ill-judged or a little too soon?
Well, like you say, everybody's different and nobody knows what he's going through, and he's having to live it all through the public eye. Mm. Apparently, he knew her before. Mm. So he obviously had a friendship with her before. Maybe now this has happened, he might be going to the nearest female he was close to before. You don't know. But the fact he knew her before, you know, my trust in men at the moment anyway is zilch. But I was going to ask you that. I know we're talking about Mick Jagger, but what you think? What do you think of my situation, and what would you do?
Yeah, so, Vina, because basically, you know, I'm sure you'll be aware of it. You can't really ignore what happens in Katie's life because she's such a public. I mean, I think you're the most famous person in the country. We have a situation where Katie is on her third marriage with basically difficult marriages that didn't work out before. This guy is perfect. He's sensitive, he's caring, he's a damn good looking guy. And you were blissfully happy, weren't you?
Yeah.
And you had an amazing wedding, and you then conceived. You're wonderfully pregnant, which is always a blessing. And then Katie discovers the full horror, which is that this chap's been seeing her longtime best friend, her best friend since she was 16, and also somebody else as well. So it's a nightmare. It's a nightmare at the best
for
of times.
For 10 months, a sexual relationship for 10 months until I caught them on holiday.
Oh.
And wow. I'm pregnant again.
Wow. So you've got so much going on.
But the point is, if I didn't catch them, he would have carried on.
It would have continued. Yeah. So that, you know, that's really a question about boundaries. And at the moment, you know, you're in a state where you've got to focus on getting all the support and help that you need, and really putting yourself first.
Because basically, I was with him for 4 months, and then after our second wedding, a couple of months after that, he's at it with my best friend and another lady.
Yeah.
For 10 months.
That, you know. So that for you right now, you absolutely have to be the only focus in your life, and looking after yourself and your body and preparing for motherhood has to be the thing that the only thing that, you know, that's top of your priority list right now.
Yeah.
And apart from that, looking after your heart, of course. Because,
and do you think someone like that would cheat again if they didn't get help?
Can he change?
Yeah, can he change with help?
You know, I think absolutely everyone can change, but it's about really the first step for that would be for him to really take responsibility and look at why it is that he's behaving in that way. And once he's able to take responsibility and genuinely want to get help, that's the key. Nobody else can make him want to get help. Do you know what I mean? So if anybody's kind of pushing him to get help, that's not going to work. That never works. So it has to come from within. It has to come from the person themselves.
Okay, brilliant. Thank
you. Yeah, so there's hope, basically. But yes, and what's the evidence that he wants to change? What are we looking for in terms of clues? Because it's got to be more than just apologies and a bunch of flowers from the local all-night garage.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It's apologies and bunches of flowers don't mean it, because those are all external actions that are aimed at the other person, right? So in this case, those would be external actions aimed at Katie. It has to be genuinely from him. In other words, the only way you're going to know is if he willingly turns up to ask for help and to get help, preferably from a professional, I would say, and goes through that process. That's the only way you're going to know, is if he actually goes through the process.
Right, okay.
There you go. Well, listen, Veena, there you go. That was a very direct
You're
advice
welcome.
For Katie. Veena Ramphal, who is a relationships and expert on all matters carnal. Veena, what's your Twitter handle again, please, my lovely?
It's at Veena Ramphal.
Brilliant. And that's R-A-M-P-H-A-L.
That's right.
Brilliant. Do follow Veena. She's the wisest lady ever. Thank you so much for your time. And thanks for being with Mark and Katie on FUBAR.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me on the show.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. It's exactly 12:17. And Mark Dolan and Katie Price with you right through till 1 o'clock. Lots of tweets and emails coming in. Nathan has said, hey, Katie, you do what you want. They're your kids. That's in relation to Princess having a piercing.
Okay.
But you know what? I think I don't think the piercing is a problem. I think what I'm uneasy about with little girls is the early sexualization. So, you know, like when supermarkets bring out these knickers which say sexy chick.
I know. Yeah, like how many kids have you got?
I've got two boys.
Oh, you
Arthur
haven't got a girl yet?
No, I don't. I'm not. And you say yet.
You're not going to have any
and
more.
That's how you made me just swallow myself there at that very
you
thought.
You definitely don't want more kids.
No, two is lovely. When I'm not like you, I'm not, you know what I mean? I haven't got the energy and the inclination. Two is, we're already at like full stretch with two. I don't know how you do it.
I think it gets easier.
Really? What, because they entertain each other?
Yeah. Even I'm constantly like, kids, please leave each other alone.
I think there is a bit about that. I went to the Middle East to meet a man who had 84 children by 17
I remember
women.
You telling me that is absolutely ridiculous. How on earth would you remember their names?
He didn't. Jesus. But he was a legend. He was a nice guy. And obviously all these women loved him. And it was very strange. He was being sponsored by the local sheikh to have all these kids. But I did make an observation because I met lots of big families and they were all happy.
Mm.
I mean, some of them were stone broke because obviously that's an expensive business having loads of kids. But they had each other, and it's almost like, I mean, some of those families, it was like a kind of day nursery just with the family.
It's like
being
the Waltons
together.
At mine, the countryside and kids everywhere.
Absolutely outstanding. So you can do that. We've also got Ali, who says this is Ali, ex Sally. 83. Oh, God, these Twitter handles, they do my head in. It's basically, she's called Ali. Thank you, Ali, for your tweet. Katie Price getting in so much trouble at work as I'm ignoring everyone and not taking calls because I'm engrossed. She basically, she's trying to get her work done. She can't because she's listening to you.
Oh, keep listening.
Very good. Nathan Thursfield says, loving the show.
Oh, no, Nathan.
Amazing. Fuck the haters, he says. Kerry Cox said, you look so pretty, just natural, considering everything you're going through. Mikey says, I've never been a big fan of yours, but after FUBAR Radio and your honesty regarding Kieran, I'm a fan now. Good for you. And that's Mikey. So you're
Thank
converting
Thank you, Mikey.
People. And you're not, it's not your job to convert people. You're not trying to convert anyone.
I am not. I'm just, like I said, I am what I am. And like you know, the newspapers and magazines, they can portray you whatever way you like. So it's good doing this radio because people will get to see that I'm just like, you guys, I am actually normal. It's just a job that's not normal.
Absolutely right. Completely. Craig Scott says...
Craig Scott.
Now, he says, all Kate's American fans are tuning in because I was talking about how huge you are in this country and that I think you're bigger than the Queen. But here's the thing. I think globally you're pretty big too, aren't you? I mean, you're well known in America, aren't you?
I suppose in some countries I'm known. But, you know, I don't sit there and think, oh, I'm known in these countries. Honestly, I'm not like that at all. I'm like, oh yeah, I suppose, yeah, people do know me there, yeah.
Yeah, because you sold your books in America.
Yeah.
You've been, you know, you go to America, people know who you are.
Yeah.
I've got Jay has also said, just tuned into Katie Price, so glad all that fan speculation of a song was wrong. Lol.
Don't speak too soon. I'll be chirping out another song.
Tell us about it.
Cheap like a budgie.
I'm still waiting for the new album. Definitely.
I am definitely going to do another song. Sorry, guys. Fingers in your ears. But I love it.
I know. Well, I read a comment about you at the time when you had your last single out. And you just said, I don't care if people don't want me to.
Oh,
I'm
don't.
One of these
I
people.
Just love it.
Yeah. But you don't. Do you do it to annoy people or you do just do
No,
it
I do it because I love it and I can do it. That's all. I don't do it to make money or anything like that. the last song I did was Save the Best Till Last. Well, that was my wedding song where I put it on YouTube.
Yeah.
And why not? If I enjoy it, why not do it? I'm not harming anyone.
I think that's the whole point about you is, in a weird way, do you know what you are? You're an example of the American dream, except we're in Britain, not America. But, you know, you've got that American vibe where
I do
like,
live the dream, and if I can do it, I'll do it. I'm not harming anybody. If you don't want to listen to it, don't click the button to listen to it.
Do you worry about being a role model? Is that something that you would rather not be?
I think being a role model is quite a scary thing to take on.
Yeah.
Because I don't go out of my way to try and be anything than myself. That's why I probably get a lot of stick doing something. Do you know, even like with this pregnancy, because I'm showing my bump off.
Mm.
It's like, oh, put it away. Yet when I was hiding it last time, they're like, oh, is she really pregnant? This is what I'm saying. Whatever you do, you cannot win.
Yeah, yeah, that's it.
So you just got to do what you do. I don't really do anything bad. What have I done that's really that bad? I always say to people, sometimes they're comments, and I'm like, what have I done that's really that bad?
You haven't. It's just that some people just want to be angry
about they're just
stuff.
Jealous. And I don't know why, because I've come from nothing and I've made what I have by just being me.
Yeah, and also by incredible hard work and tenacity.
Exactly.
Was going to ask you that. Yeah, so listen, what we've got is this amazing thing, which is the FooYou, which is a device on the app where people can actually say what they want to say. It's like a phone-in, but rather than having that here's line two, people at leisure, in the office, at home, they can record a message, which we play out live on the radio. So it's very good. Here's one, and this is from Gaz, who I think may have had some preconceptions about you, Katie, which may have dissolved, but let's see. I don't want to prejudge it. this is Gaz with the FooYou, which is on the app. Have a go yourself if you think you can do better. Let's get this one going. And
good morning, everyone. Good morning, listeners. Good morning to everyone else who has a smartphone, has access to the FU app, and they choose not to utilise it. So you're just going to have to get sick of the sound of my voice. Yes, interesting. There's no way I can say the following without it sounding a bit rude to begin with, but I think it's more the media, and I'll be as nice as I can when I say this. Katie Price, you're coming off very, very well on the radio. I think the way the media writes about you, or even whoever sells the stories or whatever, I don't think they do you any favours or any justice. Basically, the way you're coming across on the radio is completely different from the way that we read about you in magazines and on celebrity shows and all that crap no one really is arsed with. But yeah, you're doing a bang-up job, love. You've had me smiling, laughing, and yeah, I really think that this is possibly a much better way for you to sort of be in the public eye than these constant magazines and the gossip. And you know, well, I don't want to sound like a dick, but you know, the media does tar people with a certain brush, and then when someone has a different outlet, like I'm sure, well, I've never heard you on the radio before, you seem to be a much nicer and much more, you know, with it person than the media would have us believe you are. So there is a compliment in there somewhere. Please don't think I'm a dick. Yeah, cheers.
Well, there you go. Great work from Gaz.
I can assure you, Gaz, I think you're walking the dog because it sounds windy and you're out of breath.
Yeah.
But you're not a dick. Thank you very much. Thank you for recognising I'm just normal like you guys.
Absolutely right. And that's it. Well, do take advantage. As Gaz correctly said, this app is available to everyone to use it. And so if you want to chip in with a message, you want to say hi to Katie or ask her a question, let's just chuck it in there. It would be fantastic. I don't know how addictive you are, because very interesting story which I found online, which is, why can't some people quit smoking? Their brains can't register the benefits of quitting, a study suggests, right? It's very interesting, which is basically, there are those who can go cold turkey with any addiction and others who simply can't kick the habit. Now researchers think they've discovered why some people can't stop smoking, and it's to do with activity in the brain. The US scientists found they could predict how effective a reward-based quitting strategy would be in an individual by studying their brain activity. So basically, I don't know what your weakness is, because you've not shown any real sign of addiction in your life, have you?
I'm not a smoker. I mean, I've had a puff of a smoke, but no, I'm definitely not a smoker, and I don't allow it in the house.
You're not an addictive personality, I don't think, are you?
No, I'm very impulsive. My addiction at the moment is ice cubes, but I'm like that whenever I'm pregnant. I just want to chomp on ice cubes, and I can't wait to get home to
That's
get into
mad.
Certain ice cubes, and they're the ones that my fridge make, which is really weird.
Nice.
Not just any ice cube, but... No,
You've
I'm
got one
more
of those
impulsive.
American style yes. fridges with the two doors and the ice dispenser. That's
yeah,
brilliant.
One of them. Yeah, but yeah, no, I'm impulsive, but I wouldn't say I'm addictive.
Yeah. It's weird though, isn't it? I think there are. I think it's the makeup of people is that some people have got this addictive personality and others haven't.
Yeah,
it's,
I agree.
Like producer Talia, you're kind of quite. You're not an addictive character, are you?
I don't think so.
One of those. You can occasionally smoke, which I find remarkable.
Yeah. I mean,
you don't really, do you? No. But you could have a cigarette at a party, like a social cigarette,
yeah,
and that would be
fine.
Be,
but yeah, I wouldn't get addicted to it.
I'd be on like 40 a day straight away.
No, but see, when I've tried smoking, it gives me head rush and it makes me feel sick. So it's not for me.
No.
Don't do it, kids.
It's
no,
not
don't.
Good. I tell you what, it's funny that we've touched on this health and fitness thing because producer Talia, it's like one of those, every day there's a kind of, there's world... I don't know, World Cucumber Day or International Cream Crackers
Day. Yeah, every single day.
Every day there's something.
Today's Eat Your Own Vegetables Day.
Eat Your Own Vegetables Day?
Yeah.
What do you mean, once you've planted?
I think it's meant to be like grow your own and then eat them.
Oh, bloody hell. That is a double burden. And not only have I got to eat them, which is already a hard sell.
I've got to grow them.
Grow them as well.
I haven't quite got to that level yet.
You will. You need a bit more of that. You need some. Have you not grow anything on your property?
Only eggs. We don't grow them, obviously. The hens pop them out.
Yeah.
We get about 30 eggs a day.
Wow.
Geese eggs, duck eggs.
And I bet they're the best eggs ever.
Yeah, and I didn't realise you'd get like blue eggs. You know, they're all completely different. So, yeah, we get about 30 a day.
We're going to talk vegetables now. I mean, that is obviously not a very compelling prospect, but apparently we've got a dude on who's a very funny man called Tommy Holgate, who's a comedian and also formerly the face of the Sun's lottery platform. What was his name?
Tommy Lottery.
Tommy, are you familiar with Tommy Lottery?
The name rings the bell.
He's a dude. He's a real character, and he's going to try to sell the idea of eating vegetables to us, which is obviously going to be difficult because we've just both had pan au chocolat and croissant.
I know, tell me about it.
It's shocking, but there you go. The sun shines on Islington, North London, the global HQ of Fubar Radio. A couple of very funny tweets and emails coming in. One from a listener, Andy McHaffey, who's responding to... Gaz's Foo You, his recorded message on the show, which was excellent. Thank you for that, Gaz. Andy has said, is that guy in the FUBAR radio phone... Oh, excuse me, I'll have a go at that. Is the guy in the phone-in thing wanking? It did sound like there was a bit of self-pleasure going on, producer Talia. I think you'll agree.
I hope not. I won't let Gaz on again if that's the
I think Gaz has got a busy life. And I think he's out walking the dog, as Katie correctly guessed. I think that is exactly right. A couple of others for you. I've got a tweet from Sarah Brownslow who said, never had an opinion on Katie because I don't know her, but she's sounding great and I will tune in again. And that's from Sarah. Jay has said, hey, Katie Price, you have loads of female perfumes out. Any news on a male one?
That's in the talks, but normally I don't do stuff for the male because, you know, when I endorse something, I know about myself,
it's
what
about
I
you.
Like.
Yeah, it's about you.
But so many people have said, I'll either do a unisex one or one for a male, which is my smell that I would like.
Well,
on
I've
a man.
Got one for you, right? You turn some of the difficulties you've had into a positive, and you should bring out a male cologne called Betrayal. Right.
That's quite good, isn't it?
Betrayal by Katie Price.
Quick, trademark that.
Because that's kind of sexy, Betrayal. You know
that
what
is.
I mean? Betrayal. But anyway, so here's the thing, right?
Well, that could be the name of my next autobiography.
Well, I think it will, won't it? Well, that word will definitely be appearing several times. Those biographies, you've got, how many have you actually published so far?
I've done 50 books in total.
Wow.
And autobiography, I think this would be my sixth one.
Worry that at a certain point you'll settle down and you'll just be blissfully happy and
well,
then
I thought
you won't have
the last
anything
one.
To write about?
This is exactly what I thought with the last one. I thought, yeah. I've actually found someone. I'm not going to have any dramas now. What could possibly go wrong? And then obviously my waters broke in France.
Did they really? Have your waters broken already?
No, with Jet, you plonker.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was showing.
I don't think I'll be
right
that
now.
Calm. Yeah,
I was showing a lot of gynecological ignorance.
Oh no,
there.
With Jet, they broke in France, and then obviously Jane and Kieran were fucking shagging while I'm in hospital, and that's the drama. And then, you know, just married him, And now dramas, there's just dramas.
By the way,
and there's stuff I didn't put in my last one that I'll be putting in this one.
Two things before we come to our very fabulous guest who's going to talk to us about vegetables. But here's the thing. Two things. One, what was the Jordan becoming Katie Price thing? What was that about? Was that about Jordan being a creation and you decided that you were going to be yourself and Katie?
Do you know, I've never, ever done that change. If you look at some of the magazines each week, some say Jordan's doing this and then some say Katie's doing this.
Yeah.
It's like whenever they use the name Jordan, it's like, oh, she's done something wrong. But whenever they use the word Katie, it's like, oh, the softer mummy side. It's like, I never said, oh, I want to be called Katie now. It's just because when I did Page Three, we changed my name to Jordan because... I don't know, we just did, and I just used that name.
Well, did they think it sounded sexier, or is it your favourite Middle Eastern country, or what was the thing?
No, because I was on the phone to my agent. Someone didn't turn up, and they said, oh, do you want to go along to do Page Three? Thinking, oh, I probably won't go on it. And they said, we'll change your name for it, though, because doing Page Three can stop you getting other work. So we was like, OK, what should I be called? We come up with names. And he said, what about Jordan? I said, oh, that would do. Because they used to do the captions in them days.
Did you feel it protected you a little bit? Was it something you could hide behind slightly? Like a character slightly?
Well, it was weird because some people would say to me, not straight away, because I didn't have that overnight fame thing, but they'd be like, God, you look like that Jordan in the paper. And I'd be like, do you think? And even now, like sometimes when I get on the Gatwick Express coming up to London and people go... God, you really look like that Katie Price. Are you her? And I go, oh, everyone says that. I should be a lookalike. I never say, oh, yeah, well, I'm Katie Price.
Not.
It's like, how sad would that be?
No, and the other thing is, are you ever going to, like, retire from being, like, this famous woman? Can you imagine, have you got this idea that when you're 60, you're just going to, I don't know, just stop being a public figure? Would you like that? Or is this what you love and you can imagine until your dying day you will be in the public eye?
Well, the thing is, it's not a normal job that I do and I just go along with the flow. I mean, it's the public that keep me here because without the public, what would I be doing? You know, it's down to them why I'm still here. Obviously, nothing lasts forever. But, you know, I still want to do Playboy again. I still want to do my sexy calendars again because obviously... You know, I haven't done them for years and I've still got it in the pricey, let me tell you that.
You know that. You are 36, you are so ridiculous.
But yeah, I'm
young.
Dying to do Playboy again. I've definitely got a calendar for next year. So my body hasn't disappeared and I'd like to prove to people, just because I've had 5 kids, I can still pull it off. The pricey's still got it.
I tell you what, one thing that's going to help you with that recovery of your figure to its natural stunning form is going to be if you eat lots of vegetables, especially your own vegetables, right? Because producer Talia, it's Eat Your Own Vegetables Day, which implies...
It's actually just Eat Your Vegetables, just check.
It is?
Yeah.
Good. Well, that's simpler then, because the logistics of growing them is a bloody nightmare.
Now, this is interesting.
Well, I'm excited about this. Eat Your Vegetables. Vegetables are key. Now, we're joined on the line by one of my favourite people, comedian... turned nutritionist, also formerly Tommy Lottery, the face of the Sun's Lottery platform. This man's done a lot with his life. He's also been a wild drinker and a bon viveur. He's the craziest, funniest, best man in the world. And it is Tommy Holgate. Welcome to FUBAR Radio, Tommy, and to Katie Price on the radio.
Hello, Katie Price, and hello, Mark Dolan. How are you guys?
Hello, Tommy.
You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm dying to know about your vegetables, what you've got to say about this.
I'll tell you what, you'll be living to learn about them when I tell you, because there are so many medicinal qualities in vegetables, Katie.
Right.
You know that. And you know, you mentioned the word betrayal earlier on, Mark, when you're talking about Katie. I'll tell you what won't ever betray you. Broccoli. That is a fact. Broccoli won't ever let you down, right? Broccoli. I've made a little list of some of the medicinal benefits of some day-to-day vegetables, and this is for the benefit of absolutely everybody, because the sort of foreign nature that some of these vegetables seem to take in our consciousness is wrong, because they're available in all the supermarkets and they can do many good things. So broccoli, for example, is a cancer-fighting agent rich in iron, beta-carotene and vitamin C. Now all these things are going to lower blood pressure, they're going to increase circulation, and that will in turn help your immune system. Right now, when was the last time you felt run down, Katie?
I don't even know what that word means. It's constant, isn't it?
I'm a
happy person.
I am
a happy person, but I wouldn't say run down.
Knackered?
Yeah, you get your colds and stuff, don't you? I mean, everyone does. You get your cold sores or whatever. So, yeah, you do get certain times of the year where you get run down. So what's the answer to help pick yourself up then?
to help yourself, well, any of the following, avocado.
Love it.
If you don't have avocado in your diet, we should be getting a half an avocado in every day. It's described as almost a complete food. It's got vitamins A, C, E, B, potassium, bits of protein, good for the heart, skin, digestion, and sex life. All these boring vegetables like cabbage, celery, cauliflower, broccoli, they are all good for your sex life. So blokes should be having more of it. You know, I think we have a wrong relationship with these vegetables from when we're a kid. Asparagus, also very good, yeah.
So it's very smelly, isn't it? When you go to the toilet, wee.
Yes, yeah, well, I don't usually incorporate the weeing into the sex life. I like to keep them in separate rooms. I don't want any of my urine going anywhere where the sperm's going to go.
The thing is, when you were on the radio with us a while ago, I'll just let that thought just hang in the air. You were telling us that the body is kind of just designed to eat vegetables. Do you think we're not even as a species supposed to eat meat?
I think that there maybe once a month, realistically. I mean, it's an endless debate. But, you know, if you go back to, like, caveman times and, you know, man becomes concerned with this hunter-gatherer idea. And so modern man likes to think, yeah, I'm a hunter. I'll have my meat three times a day. But back in those days, you know, the hunters would go out and catch a big old boar and then bring it back to the village, and they'd have perhaps a monthly meat meal. They wouldn't be having it three times a day. So I certainly don't think the human body is designed to be having meat three times a day. And in fact, increase in meat consumption makes it difficult to sleep, especially if you eat meat sort of after 5 o'clock. You know, that's going to give you indigestion as you're lying in bed and whatnot. And it also makes your sweat smell a bit worse. But I'm not here to decry meat. I'm here to promote
broccoli.
Are you
broccoli, a vegetarian, Tom?
Cucumber.
Tommy.
I don't like to have a label, but I call it a whole food, plant-based lifestyle, because I used to be raw vegan for a while, you know, the raw vegan diet.
Yeah, which was boring, was it?
It wasn't so much boring. I mean, I'm effectively still on it, but it's just, if you refer to it as raw vegan diet, then each of those three words are going to send people running 100 miles.
But it's knowing how to do the meals to make them tasty.
Exactly. Okay, yeah. They think, raw vegan, I don't want to be on a diet, I don't want to go on one of them either. So whole foods is, you know, is what it is, plant-based, lots of green, lifestyle. So it's a lifestyle rather than a diet, because, like I say, diet has implications of something that is restrictive or that you have to stick to for a while before then re-binging. So this lifestyle can include things like cabbage, garlic, cabbage, right? Cabbage, one of the most boring vegetables in the world. It literally sends me to sleep, think about cabbage. However, the healing qualities of it, unbelievable. It's great for your liver, blood, skin.
And if you've just had a baby, they say, is it the Savoy cabbage you put on your boobs cold?
Oh, really?
And that's what I did before. And it actually helps the swelling. I'm not even joking. So add that to your list, Tom. Honestly, I'm not joking. Is it the Savoy one?
I think maybe you should
one?
Do that for the Playboy shoot.
Imagine.
It's Katie and a variety. You know what it is? I can see the headline now, Get Your Five a Day. And it's just a picture of you surrounded by vegetables. There is a thing which I've heard recently, which is that we should be careful. Fruit is obviously very good for you, but the real advantage of vegetables is that you don't get the spike in blood sugar with vegetables, do you? Whereas actually, if you spend all day eating apples and oranges, that you've got to watch it with your blood sugar. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I would be careful of eating too much fruit after 5 o'clock because of the sugar and the lack of opportunity to then burn that off. If you're going to go to the gym at 7 o'clock for some spinning, and you finish work at 5, yeah, maybe have a couple of apples at 6 because you're going to burn that sugar off. But if you're not planning to burn off the energy, then that fruit that you're eating, whilst it's got lots of nutrients in there and lots of goodness, if you don't then exercise that off, then that sugar will turn into fat. So I tend to typically limit the fruit intake to the mornings, and that then, you know, you can enjoy a very big, healthy breakfast then, because that glucose that you're taking on board at sort of 8, 9 or 10 o'clock, that's going to be the fuel that's going to see you through the morning when your metabolism's racing as well. Because when the metabolism slows down later in the day, especially after 8 o'clock, say, you really don't want to be having much sugar, if any sugar at all. You can start having green veg, though. I have a lot of green leafy veg before going to bed, because overnight, it's like the body's then repairing.
But is there a thing about raw vegetables in the evening? Because aren't raw vegetables harder to digest?
Well, there is a bit of that. There is a bit of that theory going around. So juicing them is good. I had a great old juice this morning with basil, parsley, carrot, cucumber, celery, and beetroot juice. Right? And a lot of them are consumed regularly by the nutritional sort of super experts, the people I've been researching from for the last couple of years. They constantly consume celery, cucumber, and beetroot, and also lettuce. Now, celery, lettuce, and cucumber are three vegetables that I typically previously thought, what's the point? What's the point in bothering them? They're pathetic. They don't offer you anything. They're just water in vegetable form. But then the realization that, A, we all need more water anyway, makes you think, okay, I'll take on board some more of those greens. But B, having a green juice late night will do you absolutely no harm whatsoever.
Every morning, Tommy, I make a like a shake-up, like this morning.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me if this is good or bad for you. So this morning... Okay. I put a handful of ice. I bought like a little smoothie machine. And then I put some almond milk in it.
Almond milk.
One banana. A handful of raspberries. A handful of blueberries. And then I blend that. And then I put some cinnamon powder in it and blend that. Is that good for you or not?
No, that is actually very good. And I'm, in a non-patronising way, thoroughly impressed, Katie. Well done.
I have that. And I forgot. And I, you know, you can buy them oats in a packet.
Yeah.
And I put one of them in as well. And I put it all in the blender. And that's what I have for breakfast every morning.
Wow.
Is that a good breakfast or not?
That is healthy. That
and
is
what is with the cinnamon? Because I got told if you put cinnamon in it, it's good for you, is it?
Cinnamon is, one of the most healing of all the herbs.
Oh, okay.
I think it has warming qualities, so a cinnamon will kind of get your system going and rev you up for the morning. And oats are also said to be a herbal remedy for anxiety. So if anyone ever suffers from anxiety or whatever, having oats in the morning is something that has been done for hundreds of years by way of appeasing that anxiety. So oats and cinnamon, you're doing well there, and then all them fruits, fantastic. If you were to say you were going to have that smoothie before bed, or like as a supper, I'd say no.
No, I have it in the morning.
Exactly. I'd say please have it in the morning when your metabolism is racing.
And it's good news for the baby.
Right,
oh, yeah, go on.
A few other basic vegetables that I would just chuck in every basket. So we talk about broccoli. Cauliflower, almost identical to broccoli in its goodness, or it's a great source of sulfur, which is lacking in many people's diet. A lot of people need more sulfur to repair ligaments and damaged joints and stuff like that. So cauliflower, broccoli will help prevent arthritis. And a lot of these conditions that will get mentioned are all preventable conditions because they are lifestyle generated diseases. And there's a cracking film by your mate, actually, Katie, you know, Jason Vale.
I didn't want to mention it because I didn't know if he was your competitor.
Because
I was going to say to you about the beetroot. The beetroot. Would you use raw beetroot or just the normal beetroot? Beetroot.
I would use a raw beetroot, every time, ideally with the
and when you blend it, do you peel the skin or do you pull it through the juice extractor like that?
Just straight through. I tend to chop my juice, my fruit and veg nice and small and then just chuck it straight through as whole as possible.
And I haven't seen Jason's new film.
I'll keep the leaves in as well.
Would you about to say about Jason's new film?
Yes,
I haven't seen it yet, but he sent it to me. Is it good?
It's unbelievable. It's a life-changing film. There's other films
good.
That are great that are available on Netflix are called Food Matters and one's called Hungry for Change. The Food Matters film changed my life with regards to food because it was the first time, about a year ago, I realised that we can eat ourselves into a position where we are pretty much cancer-free. If we follow this diet, or if I follow this diet, I fully plan to have perhaps a 1 in 50 chance of developing cancer as opposed to 1 in 2. And that became something that was quite appealing. So the thought of seeing things like cabbage or garlic or celery as like a living medicine became quite nice. So now I go through the vegetable aisle and I'm looking at the spinach thinking, you're a legend, mate. You know, I'm looking at cabbages going, God, that's brilliant. Isn't it amazing? Those cabbages, they're just sitting there on the soil before they get properly grown. And then the sunlight comes from, 9 billion, million, whatever, light years away. And then there's a little bit of stuff going on in the earth as well. And that cabbage just makes itself happen.
Right, okay, listen, we've reached that point where you're talking to the vegetables, so I think we better draw a line under it now. But
okay, no, I am going on a bit, I'm sorry about vegetables. Veg is great, eat loads of veg. garlic, cabbage, celery, cauliflower, broccoli, beetroot, basil, avocado. Remember all them.
I've got to say, you're a walking advert for it, Tommy Holgate. You're the funniest, healthiest, bounciest man I know. I think you get about 11 minutes sleep a night and you've got a glow permanently. Yeah. So,
Tommy, what I want you to do before you go is if you and send in some of your good smoothie shakes and I will try them and give you my feedback and maybe other people can try them too.
Tell you what, I'm going to do that. And then I look forward to hearing how you get on.
It's a date. It's a date. Yeah. We'll get you in. We've got a foobar blender.
Yeah, we'll bring you in. You can make us some like shakes while we're on air.
I will.
There you go.
You will have the healthiest 3 hours of your life.
Love it. And I'll be farting like a good un.
Yeah, I know. Look, get the windows open in this studio.
Blow you away, literally.
Yeah, I'll make myself scarce by that bit.
Brazilian farting.
There you go. And on that very delicious visual image, Tommy, Tommy, thank you so much. The brilliant Tommy Holgate at Tommy Holgate. Tommy's got loads and loads of stuff going on. He's a very, very busy guy. So do follow him on Twitter at Tommy Holgate for inspirational nutritional advice. And he calls himself comedian turned nutritionist. He's still very much a comedian as well.
Mark Dolan and Katie Price on FUBAR Radio.
It is indeed FUBAR Radio. It's 12:55. I can't believe this. Gorgeous, scrumptious Katie Price. We're almost out of time.
I know. Do you know what they say? Time flies when you're having fun. And I'm having fun with you. Can't wait for next week.
I've had to stop reading out all the tweets because they are very, very incredibly glowingly positive about you. And that is absolutely right. I tell you, I'm very positive about Jared Christmas and Andrew Bird because they're up next. And they, in their own right, are iconic figures of the popular culture scene.
Thanks, mate. There's so much fun flying around this room. I feel like I need protection.
Jared, Katie, Jared.
Katie,
hey, hi.
Hi. Nice to meet you.
And Andrew, Katie.
Hi.
And actually,
hi.
Andrew and Katie have already bonded during a record earlier in the show.
Nice.
Andrew was, he was like Charlie in the Chocolate Factory peering through the window of the confectioners. Do you know what I mean? Just breathing on the glass, staring, if I'm honest, making Katie feel a tiny bit uncomfortable.
Making her feel like a penny sweet. Well done, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks,
have some
mate.
Respect,
then,
mate.
The management was alerted and we rushed it out. Now we're back.
So I'm very excited about your show. 3 hours of audio gold. It always is. You're wearing a Hawaiian shirt. You're wearing your NASA hat. I think it's going to be... I think you're bringing your A game today. I can feel it.
I certainly am. I'm certainly... I've gone for an eclectic clothing choice. But, you know... Or the rule book's thrown out the window when the sun comes out. That's what I say.
Katie, is this a look that you're willing to... is it thumbs up or thumbs down?
Well, it's sunny outside-ish.
God, yeah. That sounded very...
That was damning.
That sounded like a mother comment, didn't
it? Well, that's a half thumb up. I'll take a half thumb up over no thumb up any day.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, it's 3 hours. We can't wait for it. It's always unmissable. The funniest men on radio. Katie Price, I can't believe it's over. I will see you in a week's time.
Yes, and get tuned in and turned on. Woohoo! Next week.
Beautifully done.
Matt Dolan.
This is Khalees and that was Katie Price. Jared and Andrew are next on FUBAR.
I'm Mark Dolan.